This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
FUBAR!
Well, we had three goes at making that work, didn't
we,
Barry?
If you only knew how difficult it was to play a simple... Well, I used to call it a jingle. It's now called a sweeper.
Is it?
It's now called a sweeper.
When I was working back on that boat in the middle of the ocean with Tony Blackburn, I don't think they even had a name for it then, you know.
Just an ident.
Yeah, it was just a record.
This was you and Tony Blackburn.
Who's
on the Sally line, was it?
Yes, it's on the Sally line.
The Sally line.
We used to just muck about there, play records. There was no guests because you couldn't get them out there, you know.
No.
But those are the halcyon days of radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Pioneering barrels.
Pioneering pirates. You weren't literally
pirateering.
Pirateering. Here we are, two mavericks on the airwaves of the internet. It's Barry and Angelos.
Here we go.
Here we go. Let's rock.
2, 3, 4.
Oh, what's this?
I don't know.
This is Swagger Like Us.
Not interested.
It sounds like
everything else.
It sounds like it's got stuck. Hold on, give it a shove.
Give it a knock, go on.
Someone should have dusted these records before we got them.
Give it a knock.
Here we go. I'll give it a knock. Here we go. That's it. That's got it. No.
Oh my god, what a way to start the show.
Award for shittest song.
That is the biggest load of shit I've ever heard.
It didn't know what it wanted
to do.
No,
it didn't know. It didn't know the market it was targeted at. And I think that is a problem with a lot of modern music. It doesn't know its target audience, you see.
I mean, contributing to that was Kanye West.
Ah, right, he was involved, was he? Usually very reliable.
Very reliable.
Very bankable.
Jay-Z.
Okay, I could do without him.
And someone else has disappeared off the screen now. A lady, she gave us the immortal
she
line, swagger
like that. She would have been busting for the vocals.
Now, Harry, are you familiar with the expression, too many cooks spoil the broth?
Well, Barry, yes.
The
short answer is yes.
You done come down with me, so you'd know
about
that.
I had all sorts of hands in my bowl.
I bet
and when
you
you've
do.
Got lots of hands in your bowl... It's very difficult to not to stay focused.
Of course it is. So, consequently, what they've given us is a little bit of rap.
Yeah.
In the middle...
Bit of swing.
A bit of R&B's. Blues. Country
jazz.
Western. Trad jazz.
Trad jazz.
Medieval.
Pop stars.
Gregorian chants. Some cavemen banging us.
Yeah, primal screaming.
Primal screaming.
Yeah.
And the sound that aliens make when they come down and try to make contact.
Yeah, like on Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
You had alien airwaves in your head trying to make contact.
Well, I was kidnapped. By them.
I remember this.
You remember?
Oh my goodness.
It must have been in about 1997. I'm going back a bit.
1997.
And they come down in their craft, and I'm just, you know, I'm just going out late at night sitting on the bench with a can of Tennent's, right?
As is your right.
And I think to myself, what the bloody hell is that come down on, start sitting on the common, right? And how they come, right? They open the door, bzzz, down it opens, right? And this thing comes out, and I said, listen, mate, hold my hands up. Yes, I am signing on in 2 benefits offices.
Oh, yeah.
If it's that you want to talk to me about, then I'll hand myself in freely. But he said, he didn't say nothing. He just looked at me with this one eye in his head.
Oh,
and I thought, maybe I've had 1 or 2 cans too many.
Too many.
Right, and he comes up to me, and he just... Because they're bloody strong, these aliens, you know, depending on which country they come from, right? And then he had a great big pair of hands on him, and he just picked me up, lobbed me over his shoulder, right, and took me up the ramp. By now, I'm sort of, you know, I'm almost asleep because I've had so much to drink.
To drink, yeah.
And they take me up and bung me on the table, and they start fiddling about with me.
Yeah.
Prodding me and sticking wires in and all that. And they stick one in my brain. And then they stick one in my brain and then I see them all start to chat to each other and going, oh, it's a bit of a bother.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what am I saying?
Yeah.
You know, and it went on and I was having a look at this this wire what's attached to a screen and they're going and I'm thinking is something wrong here and I pull the wire out and I fling me out the ship
back in, onto the recreation ground
and it turned and they explained to me you know that they got the wrong bloke and they kidnapped the wrong fella
so I
think they was after Stephen Hawking and they got hold of me.
Well,
and once they stuck that wire in my brain, they realised that you had made a mistake.
What was the waves they give you? What was the what supersonic waves did they communicate to you?
No, they didn't. I just wanted to have a look at what was going on in there.
Did they?
But because I'd drunk like 3 or 4 cans of Tennent's,
it was no good.
There's nothing going on in there. If they'd have got me about 30 minutes earlier, when there was no Tennent's in there. It would have been a totally different story. They'd have kept hold of me for a couple of years.
I believe you. And
thank you, because
a lot
I have struggled
wouldn't.
To I get people to believe me in that story.
When you went onto the job centre, you know, that Tuesday after for your signing on day, and they said, would you declare any work?
Yeah,
No, I couldn't do any work. I remember you saying...
Yeah.
No, sir. Why not? Oh, were you poorly? No. Was it a job, on a no contract?
Zero hours.
No, it's not that. Did you have an elderly relative? Because we've got a form you can fill in for that. No, it wasn't that.
No.
Did you have to attend a funeral? Mm. Because we can give you an allowance for that date.
No.
What was it for? You said, well, I got kidnapped by an alien and stuck a piece of wire in my brain. I expect that's not on their
quotes. No, it isn't on their list.
It's not on their
list. And if it's not on their bloody list,
they don't
this is what.
Know.
No, they can't think for themselves in that situation. So they just look at you like you are taking the piss. And that is what is wrong with this government.
I'll tell you something. I had to go in. I had an incapacity benefit that I had to sign the other week, and I went into our local plate DSS. DSSS.
Yeah.
In Watford, I went in there, and I was incapacitated.
Right.
And I'm a proud man. I don't want to say.
Spread that about.
I sit down and there's some young fetus sat opposite me.
Yeah, they're getting younger and
younger. Getting younger, barely hold a pen.
Yeah, what does he know?
Barely speak English. And this gentleman, I think it was a gentleman.
Well, you don't know these days, do you?
You don't like to ask,
don't know what you're looking at, do you?
Don't know what you're looking at.
Oh, I'm sorry, how are you?
How are you, sir? And this is the other thing. Can I call you Barry? No, you can't call me Barry. It's Mr. St. Michael. Oh, can I call you? No, you actually can't.
No, you can't
it's a little bit of formality would be nice. Good morning, Mr. St. Michael. Not hello, Barry. No, in a minute.
Made that very clear.
I made that clear. Next thing you're going to come in and say, all right, you wanker, where are you signing? That's where we're heading.
Yeah, that's where we're going next, isn't it, Barry?
That's where we're heading. Yeah. So he goes, what's wrong? What do you need the incapacity? Now, I don't know the correct medical term for bum nuggets.
No.
Which I have suffered from for quite a while.
Can
you point to roughly what it is? Your heart? Yeah. No, it's not. And there's people queuing up behind.
Barry. You know,
go on.
Right, listen.
Go on.
I think things are getting worse and worse, like people using swear words just out of the blue, you know. I'm not happy about it.
Disgusting.
I was in the greengrocers the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I was going there, and I have a talk to Rog, who works in there.
Oh, yes.
And we was having a chat. And this perfectly reasonable-looking middle-class lady who probably drinks gin... I don't know.
You don't know.
But she probably does, right? She goes in, she goes, and you think, to all intentions and purposes, you think, oh, she just seems like a nice little old lady, totally unpresuming, etc. And she goes up to him, and she says, oh, hello, Raj. Do you have any fucking carrots? She just bung that in as if it was like, something you should put on is the beginning of carrots.
Some people.
You know?
Some people. I've got no manners. Absolutely disgusting. Anyway, this, in a minute, coming up,
On
the show today, we have got Angela Barnes.
She's done ever so well. Really has.
And she's going to be regaling us with some of her ladies-style comedy.
Oh, yeah. Tales from the Tour. Touring comedian. She's toured with Russell Brand.
And
so she'll have... she'll have a lot of stories to tell.
And she is going to come in here after this song, and we're going to sit her down, we're going to have some jolly good comedy.
We're going to get something out of her.
Let's hope she's not a flipping potty mouth anyway. Oh, we like this one.
I do like this one. This is all about spousal abuse, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not...
It's quite nice.
Spousal abuse. Tom's Diner featuring Suzanne Vega.
Yeah.
You know, this one,
mate. Oh, it's not this one. This is about food.
No, this is not that one.
You know what I mean?
I know, this is...
My name is Gigi. I live upstairs from him. And I hear some banging on the floor.
Oh, we'll get that banging one later.
On.
If you ask me, she asked for it a bit, that one, anyway. A bit samey, but...
Yeah, it goes on a bit, though, doesn't it? If you want to get to sleep, maybe try that.
Or you're thinking of killing yourself. Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be joined by Angela Barnes, who is a wonderful comedian.
Yeah.
This is interesting for any young people out there. Her career kicked off after a 12-week workshop she attended in Brighton, and a year and a half later she won the BBC New Comedy Awards, and about 10 years after that she appeared on this load of shit.
So it's all the way up. Look at that.
It's ups and downs. It's
this workshop, was it carpentry workshop?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, she was funny.
It's funny when when people who don't work in real workshops call something a workshop.
A workshop, I know.
It's a drama workshop.
It's a workshop.
We're gonna put it on his feet. Did you have to write stuff for it? What sort of thing was it? And was it a kind of rubbishy evening class, or did you think it was something quite decent?
It was a rubbishy evening class. No, it was a Saturday afternoon class.
Couldn't have been that rubbishy, because here you are.
Oh, look where it got me.
Yeah,
it's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Would you recommend for our young people who are listening, and I hope there are, I hope there's anyone listening, would you recommend one of them classes where a comedian goes and helps you to develop your skills?
I don't think it does any harm. I don't think it can make you a comic, but I think it can, you know, give you some tips, get you started.
Yeah.
Why not?
And I have to ask this, Angela.
You have to.
I have to ask this.
You're contractually obliged.
I'm contractually obliged. Was there anyone on that workshop where you just thought, I don't care how long you're doing this for, you will never, ever, ever make it?
Yes.
Good. Are they still going?
And can you know?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you can. No. Oh, really?
I think I'm the only one that's still going from our workshop.
How long ago was that, Andrew?
That was 5 years ago.
Goodness.
Five years ago this week, in fact, that I finished that. Yeah.
Because I remember you, Angela, when I was knocking about the Brighton area.
That's right.
Brian Kitchens, mucking around, doing pantomimes. And
that's right, you used to come and do my, because before I did stand up, before I did the workshop, I used to run a comedy night, and Angelos and Brian used to come hang out there.
We did a panto together, didn't we?
You were Cinderella to my Prince Charming.
Yeah,
which is lovely.
Good.
I did Brian Gittin's show at that pub near the seafront.
I did that, that's what I used to do. In
my life, seen anything so poorly organised.
That's the one that Angela used to organise.
Oh, well, since you left.
Yeah. Gone downhill, was it?
Yeah.
I turned up there, and this is what put me off Brighton a little bit. I'll tell you when it was. Nothing to do with him, he's wonderful. But
okay.
That some of the fantasy with it. It was so typically bright and bright. I turned up and all these trendy people were wiring up amps and
with their trousers right round their arse.
Did they have tashes?
They had tashes. And I says, I tell you when it was. It was when they first done the head-to-heads, Clegg versus Cameron and Gordon Brown, the last election, right?
She says 2009?
Ten or 11. Okay. And I was there, and I happened to say to this trendy skinny jean ponce who was, you know, wiring up. So I said, I wonder if we'll get an audience tonight, because if you remember, there was a big excitement about a live debate. And he went, no word of a lie, without a hint of irony, he says, this is Brighton, not Watford. I think what people would be more interested in is maybe going out on the beach. There's quite a low sun tonight. And having a drink and just checking, looking at the sun. And I thought,
what a wanker.
Yeah. I thought, what time's the next train?
That would have gone down well with you, Barry.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. You know, being patronised by some dickhead.
Sorry about that.
Fair enough.
To you.
To all our friends in Brighton, perhaps you'd like to turn off and go and look at the sunrise.
Sunset. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Angela. Brighton, how do you find Brighton? Do you live in Brighton?
I don't anymore. No, I've moved back to civilisation now.
Well, that was a cul-de-sac there. I'm grass for, you know, frantically. Where do you live now?
I live in Crystal Palace.
Oh, I bet you're happy.
Oh, yeah, love it.
Was that great the other night against Liverpool?
I could hear them. I was out the street. I could hear them shouting.
Mid-table.
Pulis. I was trying to decide, because I did live in Brighton for a long time and now I live in Crystal Palace and I don't really follow football.
Moved up the A23, haven't you?
I have, that's exactly what I've done. Yeah. And I thought, well, should I now support Crystal Palace? But my Brighton friend's not happy with that.
Yeah. Well, did you used to support Brighton?
No, I didn't give a shit.
I'm bothered by supporting.
But I'm a glory
waste
hunter.
Your money.
Yeah, good point.
So tell us about your gigs. Are you packing them in?
I'm packing them in? No, not really. No. Oh, I am.
You're lazy.
Yeah, totally lazy. Good. I've just done a tour support with Alan Carr, so that was nice because he can pack them in for me. Yeah. So that was fun.
No, I meant packing the gigs.
I was going to say the punters aren't coming. No. Oh, yeah, I've got loads of gigs.
They should help with that.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm here, mate.
What was it like touring with Alan Carr? Because I imagine I'd imagine he attracts a crowd that's quite mainstream. You might have to do more mainstream. Yeah.
Knob gags.
They like a knob gag.
They do like a knob gag.
They like a bit of innuendo stuff. They like it to be a bit cheeky, saucy.
Postcard.
Do you find yourself letting yourself down a little bit by going, you know, by doing the odd knob gag?
Going route one.
I love a knob gag. I'm pretty route one.
Well, I imagine, you know.
I'm happy on route one.
Knob on your lips is probably not too bad. But so what's Alan like? Is he lovely?
He is lovely. I'm contractually obliged to say he is lovely.
And I see you've worked with Russell Cain.
I have, a long time ago now. Yeah, I did a spot on his radio show.
What radio show did he have?
He had a one. It was on Radio 2. It was a thing called proper. Called Russell Cain's Whistle Stop Tour. It was like a seaside thing, and I did the Folkestone. Yeah.
Oh, the Folkestone leg.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Okay.
It's quite good radio too. I do bits on radio too. I do Steve Wright's show on...
I've done his show twice.
He's lovely.
He's a nice bloke.
Yeah, he's lovely, isn't he?
He does the whole show without any...
told me off air, Barry.
Steve, if you're listening... I never said nothing.
He won't be listening, we don't worry about that.
No, but he's lovely, but he does the whole show without any pants on. He sits there and he gets like, flaked all over the seat. It's disgusting.
Well, he's stressed, isn't he? He's got psoriasis.
He has. But he's got the factoids, but you can get an ointment for that. Anyway.
Nice.
This is good, isn't it?
It's good. I see what you did there. Love it.
Very good. Very funny.
Nice. Now, look, we are going
two to... Two references to things that potentially grow out of his arse. And we've only been going on.
Yeah, talk about Route 1. Talk about scraping.
That's the influence I have on people.
Now, look, we're going to have a song.
Oh, lovely.
And we are going to come back to be talking to Angela Barnes. Oh, what's this rubbish?
Oh, hold on a minute. Let's not judge.
I know what it is. Wait for a star to fall.
No, it isn't.
No, it's got a star in it.
Harold Fortune Mayer.
Harold Faltermeyer with Lucky Star.
How is it?
Harold Faltermeyer
featuring Madonna.
Featuring Madonna.
I don't know how she's been so successful, you know.
What's she doing now, Madonna? You don't hear so much nowadays.
She's just in the gym, I think.
She spent a lot of time in the gym, didn't she? Yeah. With them arms.
Keep those arms sinewy.
Those arms, they're so veiny. If she plays air guitar, she can get a couple of notes out of it. That's an amazing thing. I feel like old Guy Ritchie, though.
What happened there?
Well,
he's a strange... As soon as he told me he was interested in her, I was straight on the phone.
Yeah.
I said, listen, Guy.
Yeah.
I think you're making a hair of
himself. So,
he anyway, I can't kill you, say.
I'll go sort you out, with a shooter.
I'll go and have a couple in. Boom, boom. Popped your couple in me.
He could have gone slightly a couple of rungs below a Kim Wilde, maybe.
Yeah.
A Toya Wilcox.
He could have done really well with his film career if he hadn't have been so shit.
Yeah.
With Kim Wilde, he would have had a good garden.
What's that?
She does gardening, doesn't she, Kim Wilde?
Kim Wilde?
Who's the other one that promotes health pills now from the 80s?
Oh, well...
Kids in America. She does. She got to deal with
Kids
Holland
in
and...
America.
Holland
That's
and
Kim,
Barrett.
Kim Wilde.
Kim Wilde.
Yeah.
No, there's another one.
Three guesses to what her book will be called.
Wild About My Garden.
Wild Thing.
Kimbaya.
My Wild Kimbaya.
Hey, Angela.
Yes.
So nice to have you with
wild
us.
Wild of Our Time.
Okay. So,
you drive me wild.
In the garden.
So, Angela.
Wild life. Sorry.
So, Angela.
Oscar's wild. No, don't, mate. Anyway, Angela.
Angela, you are currently preparing for an Edinburgh.
I am. It's my first one.
Is it?
It's my first Edinburgh show,
We've both done it.
You got any tips for me?
Don't bother.
Stay at home.
Get £10,000. Get a £10,000 loan out of the bank.
Yeah.
Right? Get all the money and then chuck it in the bin. Do what KLF done. Yeah, burn it.
Flipping lot, because it just cuts out the aggro in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to go to Scotland if
don't
I do that.
Don't have the stress.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, if you do go to Scotland, the food there is to die for. Literally, it's all fried and cooked.
Anyway.
I've got all these jokes written down. I'll just nod to you when there is
when
one.
They're coming,
up.
When they're coming. So,
Wild Thing.
I said that.
How many minutes have you got then so far? Let me just paint a picture for the ladies at home.
Yeah.
An Edinburgh show requires about 50 minutes of comedy, and it is developed over the period of about a year. How many minutes do you have?
Well, because this is my first one, so I'm all right. I've got a bit too much.
Oh. We'll be the judge of it.
Well, I didn't say it was gold. No. I just got too much stuff. Okay. I probably got 10 minutes of gold.
Yes.
And a lot of filler.
Well, you know.
But, you know, that's what an Edinburgh show is.
Well, you are going to be using a number of preview shows to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
Very quick, I won't do them all, but starting in May the 20th, she's at Ill Station, Broccoli, Amersham Arms, New Cross on the 26th.
And that's with Cardinal Burns, that one. They're brilliant.
They're rubbish. We had them the other day. They're rubbish. Awful. If you're listening, fellas, give up.
Act we've ever had on it.
The library is until 19th of June. Anyway, look, there's lots of stuff. Where can they hear about it? You've got a website.
They're all on my website. It's angelabarnescomedy.co.uk, and I've got a mailing list on there, and I don't hassle you too often.
No. The show's called You Can't Take It With You.
You can't, Larry.
And what would that be? In a nutshell,
it's quite literal that you can't take it with you, because I lost my dad in 2008, right? And it's not a dead dad show. It's not a, you know, I don't want to manipulate people to make them cry.
No, emotional heartstrings.
is what it's actually based on the fact that at my dad's funeral, we got a bit obsessed in putting stuff in the coffin with him.
Oh.
Right, so much stuff, I thought we were going to have to take him out. Yeah. Right?
It
got a
bit,
weigh it
got
down.
A bit, yeah. And I thought all this stuff we've put in him sort of represents what he is to us, you see. And I thought,
oh, I see. It wasn't stuff that you wanted to take down the dump. And
well, do you know, funny you should say that. I did think to myself, you know, I could get rid of some batteries and printer cartridges here, but... And my dad ran a sex shop for a living, so to include batteries would have been quite...
Wait a minute. Put the brakes on.
Rewind.
Put the brakes on. Rewind. Angela Barnes.
Out Angela Barnes.
Yes.
Your father.
You found our level.
Here we go, and we're off.
And what was the biggest seller?
The Rampant Rabbit did quite well, obviously, when that first came out. I remember when that first came out, I had to get my dad to put one by for me because they were selling out. Usually we had a deal in the
shop.
Is that if I wanted anything from the shop, he'd turn his back and I'd help myself to what I wanted.
Right, he didn't want to know what you were
getting.
He didn't
want to know what I did. But with that one, because they kept selling out, so I had to... order one.
So did you say to him, for goodness sake, I'll just sit on it for a while. You know?
Exactly that. Exactly.
My wife's turned her back on a Rampant Rabbit a couple of times. It's just the way she likes it. Go on. So you kept that to one side for you.
He did. And then I was in Ann Summers a couple of weeks later. And we were doing a bit of hen night shopping. Yes. Right? And I was with my friend. And they had the big Rampant Rabbit displays when they first came out. And I went...
For Easter.
And I just went, oh, my dad's got me one of those. They're great.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
it
didn't
go down very well.
Well, it probably went down very well.
It did go down really well,
but they wanted to know exactly what you were talking about.
Does it go up quite well? tell me this. Yeah. Where was the sex shop?
It was a very classy location. It was in Great Yarmouth.
Just north from the pier, isn't it? Just round the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Next to the rock shop.
Near the rock shop. That's right. It opens at, was it 9 till 6? I think it stays
eight till eight. It was like 8 till 8.
Well, it'd stay open and slightly earlier.
And when were the busiest hours?
I would say sort of between 6 to 8. On a Saturday, there was a lovely time. Between 6 and 8 on a Saturday was when all the regulars would come in.
Right, and, regulars?
Yeah, you said regulars, and they'd sit around the shop.
Well, they'd come in to sort of see what was new.
They'd come and check out the new releases.
New releases.
So, was you embarrassed? I mean, did your friends at school say, oh, your dad runs a...
Yeah. Well, if you were successful,
why would you be?
Yeah, and they got lots of free pornography, so they were happy. I had lots of male friends, weirdly. It's funny, isn't it?
Was there any embarrassment about jazz mags all over the...
No.
All over the house? Did he bring his work home with him?
Not really. He used to say it's a bit like working at McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? You don't want a burger.
No, I don't know.
I never get fed up with the sight of a wee male.
A female,
you know, in a variety of erotic poses, positions, and that.
And did you have any weird stories?
Bottoms.
There were
bosoms, and their bottoms. You know,
there were quite a lot of weird people came in the shop. I think it was because I never used to see them, because when I helped him out in the shop, the weird ones would walk in, see a real life woman, and walk out again.
Yeah, they couldn't handle it.
Yeah. You know, but I've got a lovely... My favourite photo of my dad is lovely. It's him in the shop, and it's
the
got hardcore...
What was that? Arrive. And the police.
Handcuffed. Take it away.
Yeah, no, sorry, go on. The photograph.
There's hardcore pornography playing on a screen above his head, and he's sitting underneath it doing the Telegraph crossword. It's lovely.
What a lovely image.
Nice little juxtaposition.
It's like an Andy Warhol picture.
This is extraordinary.
But did your mum ever say, look, I don't want, you know...
They weren't together. They were... My mum... You know, they divorced when I was young, so...
Was that because of the occupation that he was involved in?
He wasn't involved in it then, but I think he had a keen interest in...
Skin flicks.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was a swinger as well.
My
you were pretty sure. And what were the bits of evidence...
Well, I know he was a naturist. He ran a B&B as well. And I always thought this B&B was a little bit,
dirty.
I think there was some swinging went on.
Why do you think?
But I never talked to him about it. We never.
No, it's not something. Was
someone who was quite liberal and laid back? He's very prudish for me because I was his only daughter.
Was there pumple grass outside? Isn't that the sign?
That's the thing, isn't it?
The sign of a swing.
You know, Mariella Frostrup put someone up outside her house, and she had people banging on the door. For dad, she had to get rid of it.
Really? Oh, shame, because it's pretty, isn't it?
It's nice stuff, but it's got too many sexual connotations.
Right, hold on. So where was this where you was brought up?
I was brought up in Maidstone in Kent.
Oh. Is that a hotbed of swingers and...
That's a shithole.
It is a shit
hole. Yeah, but that's usually where you find the swingers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
And there's not much going on, you know.
No, there's not much in that. Look, I can't quite concentrate now. There's too many questions. It's got to set me dizzy.
I'm overwhelmed with things that I want to ask you.
I tell you what we're going to do.
That have nothing to do with your stand-up career. It's
That's
a real
fine.
Shame.
We are going to play this by 808 State.
That'll calm us down.
And that'll calm us down. And in the meantime, we are going to think of some filth to discuss when we come back.
Angela Barnes.
Angela Barnes here talking about
filthy
beastliness. Join us after this.
Pornography and nudity.
And ladies, bottoms and bosoms. Population. In your face.
Give me a rest.
Give me a day.
Give me a rest.
Give me a break, man.
Give me a rest.
In your face.
Yeah, up yours. Eight.
All right, finish.
Clear off.
God,
that's over.
That was painful.
808 State. That was like tripping over a drum kit, wasn't it?
It's a right old state. That's what I call it.
That's what I call it. Angela Barnes. Now for
just
any...
Just made some wonderful revelations.
She really had. Apparently, her old man, and it was a totally, you know, bona fide, you know, a very clean, open, upfront, regulated by the council.
Clark Kent type.
Clark Kent type. And instead of that, in secret, he was running a filth parlour.
Yeah.
Full of...
Skin shop.
A skin shop full of hardcore pornography. Featuring Dingle Dangles, Ladies' Bits, Pudenders.
Did he sell any of them fake women's parts that you stick
they
on
were
the
called,
wall?
They were called Pulsating Pussies.
Oh, okay.
And they came with a little pot of...
Vaseline.
Authentic Glue. Scent, it was called.
Oh, really?
Bloody hell, where did they get that?
I think they drained a can of tuna into it or something.
I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's nice.
Bloody
that's
hell.
Did he sell many of them?
I didn't see the sales figures, but possibly.
Because
I want to remind you guys, you started this.
Well, absolutely.
I'll tell you something. No I'll tell you something. You talk about that. I had one of them pulsating vaginas that...
Stuck to the wall.
Yeah. My sat nav and my car window, you know, the sticky bit went.
Yeah.
So what I did, I used the, you know, the sticky vagina, stuck the sat nav on it.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, glance at the sat nav, you know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah.
Well, talking about being in
bush most of the time, but every time I glance at that, doesn't make sense. Bushy. But it sounded funny.
Bush is funny.
The bushy area.
Bushy area.
Funny, while you're in the car, my dad used to sell vibrators you could plug into your car cigarette lighter.
Now, I remember that. See? Yeah. What did that do? Burn the end of your penis, did it? Or, I mean, it vibrated. I mean, hold on.
Yeah, sitting in a traffic jam, got a bit of time to kill.
But what does it do? Is that arousing? I suppose it is.
I don't drive, so I don't know.
Oh, you wouldn't know.
No, I don't drive.
No, good point.
Right, okay. So you wouldn't be able to tell us what that was like, because you don't drive.
You can't really do it in a passenger seat. The driver.
Well, they would know.
It.
Yeah, unless you were with them.
Well, yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
a funny thing to do that is. I mean, I would.
I mean, you have to be very preoccupied with. I mean, sex. To not be able to drive down the M40 without plugging a vibrator into your lighter.
I agree.
And then bringing yourself off round about the Oxford area.
If it's a choice between that and Ken Bruce on Radio 2.
Yeah, you go for it.
What would you rather have? Ken Bruce doing Popmaster or something vibrating just underneath your skin
your
flap,
area.
You know, your area?
Yeah.
I think I'd go for Bruce.
Yeah. Ken Bruce.
I'd go for Bruce.
Popmaster.
Every time.
I get the same end result.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Probably. Now, this show, we rudely interrupted you. We got diverted by your father's...
That was a pretty big announcement, though, so we weren't going to not follow it up.
You must understand.
So we were at the point where
you
was chucking stuff in your dad's coffee.
That's right.
Take it up from there.
So we put all his, we put things in like, well, for a start, he had, they put his head on a nice pillow, but I changed it for some inflatable boobs because I thought that,
well, that's, yeah,
you know,
that's
suited my dad a bit more.
The sex shop.
Yeah, exactly. What else did we put in there? He was diabetic, so I put some Milky Way bars in there in case he had a hypo, yeah. You know, things like that. And I got thinking, you know, of all these little things we put in, and I thought, because I'm a bit of a narcissist, because I'm a comic, I thought, if I was to die, what would people chuck in with me?
Yeah.
So I texted my friends and family, and I asked them, and I should have rephrased, because I did phrase
That's
it initially.
That's a nice text to get, isn't it?
Yeah. I put, if I was going to be cremated tomorrow, what would you put in my coffin? And then I just got inundated with fireworks, popcorn and cannabis, so I had to rephrase it.
Of course.
Fireworks.
But yeah, got some interesting responses. So that's my show, is about the responses that I got.
Okay, and how they reflect your personality.
Exactly.
That's a lovely show. I do like it. Thank you.
Because the Edinburgh shows, they do have to have something personal. Because otherwise, why would you bother going to see him?
Yeah, people want to know a bit more about you, I think. Although I think I've done the biggest revelation probably on this show already.
Well, I think you can't get any further than that.
Well, you have to come and see the show. I might be able to.
Really? There's more to come?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that, everybody? There's more to come.
I knew someone who rode his bike to a news agent's in Eastcote, not far from me.
Watford area.
In the Watford area. And he slipped off his bike
and
virtually broke his ankle, right?
Oh.
And you know what? He was so keen to go and purchase a gentleman's periodical from the top shelf of the leisure pamphlet.
Jazz Mag.
If you will, Jazz Mag. Forum, something like that.
Mayfair. Razzle. That's the one with Reader's Wives, isn't it?
Razzle.
It most certainly is, yes.
And he carried his bike and limped all the way there. That is the power.
Wow.
That is the power of pornography.
That's the power
of pornography,
you know.
The gentleman. So, you got a very personal
show.
Some people, I mean, they write shows about anything, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
We was talking last week about Paul Hollywood. You know, the baker.
Oh, is it? He's doing a show.
Oh, he's touring round. You know, he's touring round baking.
What's he got to talk about?
That's what we said. What's the... knock up a cake. Well, that's what we said precisely. That we're thinking of doing a show on, I don't know, drinking water.
Yeah. That's right.
But anything you need to know about getting a cake?
Mending pots and pans.
And that's what you get up in Edinburgh. You get a lot of comedians go, I'm going to do a show about, spraining my ankle.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
what were your shows about when you went...
No, we're not going there.
Well, I've done. I filled the hour with a load of old crap, and then, you know, if people were mug enough to come and pay champagne to cheer, I was quite happy to rip them off.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. That's their lookout, isn't it? Yeah, good for you.
I had a review. I didn't have many reviews. I just done the end of the festival. Mm. I had a lovely review from Tim Vines. It's the funniest show I've ever seen, and that's the truth.
I saw it too, and it was very, very funny.
Very funny, but not the funniest you've seen, not even that afternoon, I expect.
No, it wasn't.
Anyway, I had a lady in, I say lady, a girl from 3 weeks.
Oh, they're children, aren't they?
Children. Don't invite them.
No. Well, I had that. I did a two-hander show with, do you know Matt Richardson? He's the Extra Factor presenter, you know, and he's all young and pretty.
I know him.
And I did a show with him in Edinburgh a couple of years ago. And, one of these baby reviewers came in. And of course they loved him because he's cute and young and good looking, and they want to fuck him, of course. And of course she didn't love me because I'm just her scary future. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I'm scary. Yeah.
So,
if they're 3 weeks, or 6 weeks.
Yeah, and the rest.
But I was not too impressed. And I heard that someone
was up there. What did they say in the review from 3 weeks? You remembered every word of Steve Bennett's review on Chortle.
Steve Bennett, and if you're listening, Steve, I told you last time. Go away, we're not interested. So he gave me a bad review for a charity gig.
He said his ancient jokes fell on stony ground.
Which I don't remember being the case, whether he's got a hearing problem.
But you know what he's like.
Well, I didn't up to then, no.
Now you do.
But he did like my business I do with Ronald Duck. He thought that was genius or something. But anyway, I don't have gone about with you. But this particular woman, I'll tell you what happened.
Mm.
I opened with this very simple joke.
Oh.
And it's nothing very clever about it, but it goes something like, you know, me and Margaret, we went up and we went to the grill, the Scots Grill, which is down there near the castle. It's lovely. She needed the toilet, you see. So she went in there. I sat down. The waiter got me a drink. He took me order. And then he said, any idea what your wife would be having? I said, I'd say it's a shit, judging by the time. Anyway, there's nothing very clever about it, but it's funny, right?
It's funny.
And this woman, I say woman, girl, she said, he opened with a story about his wife taking a dump, right? Now, of course, on paper, that just sounds a bit tricky. It's funny.
It sounds juvenile, didn't it?
It's funny.
On paper.
And you know what?
You have to be there.
She wasn't 11. I made it up.
Yeah, it's not
a
true story.
I simply made it up.
You wouldn't be that rude about Margaret,
no,
would you?
No, I wouldn't. Well,
she wouldn't have it, would she?
She wouldn't have. So anyway, that's it. But so be careful about them reviewers.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out.
Don't invite any of them in.
No. Who needs them?
But listen, we wish you all the best.
We shall.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been lovely.
Would you come back again sometime?
Anytime.
Wonderful. Come back after Edinburgh and then we'll see what
see
you
how
look
it got.
Like
if
then.
You, yeah,
if
yeah. You,
if you've got the bus fare to get here. Yeah.
If I haven't hung myself from a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then you're on Prozac.
Well, look,
okay.
Listen, my darling, it's been an absolute treat. Just remind us where you're on in Edinburgh and what the show's called.
The show's called You Can't Take It With You, and I'm on at 6 o'clock. In the cellar in the Pleasance Courtyard.
Good time, good venue.
Good time,
good venue.
Good
time, good venue.
Good venue.
Good time, good venue.
And if your dad did leave anything by the way of, you know, any publication.
I could bring some things in for you.
Must have a few of them in a box somewhere.
Oh,
yeah.
We won't say it's a stipulation of you coming on,
but please, it will help.
But it is a stipulation.
Grease the wheels, you know.
It will certainly help things for you.
Don't know, worry you, but it's just me on my own. It went for the toilet, wasn't it?
Oh, she's got the pish-pish.
He went for wee. He's back.
Oh, I tell you, the relief.
Oh,
the relief of that song is over. Aye.
Naughty girl.
My bladder is empty.
Naughty girl, Beyonce on...
Beyonce.
FUBAR's radio.
She was nice, isn't she?
Wasn't she nice? Angela Barnes.
You know, it's so nice to talk about pornography with ladies.
I know, I suspect that's why you had to nip off to the toilet. Nothing to do with wee-wee. We were saying, surely with the rise of internet pornography, they must have gone out of business, a lot of them.
I think it's a real shame.
It's a crying shame. Your friendly high street sex shop has disappeared.
It's gone down the pan. I mean, it's not these big companies that you see, like your Ann Summersby's and all that sort of Harmony. All them people are still in play, but it's once again the internet has destroyed the independent local trader.
It has destroyed the little man.
Yeah.
In a raincoat.
It's wiped him out of the high street.
It's completely wiped him out like a Kleenex that you then just
throw away
in a
by the side of the
toilet,
bed.
By the side of the bed.
That's all right.
Only to be reminded of what once was a few hours later. And if we lose that to the likes of Harmony and Summerbees, those Ann Summerbees, any of them, it's a crying shame. I mean, you know, where would our high streets be without the friendly sex shop with a grill?
That's
across
right.
And
the
some
front.
Fading, it's you know, mannequins.
Red.
In the front.
Red neon sign.
Red neon sign.
Flashing sort of sporadically on and off.
Yeah.
As if it's been buggered for about 9 years.
The fag butts and wee wee and crisp packets swirling in the doorway in the wind.
The smell of bleach.
The smell of bleach and the odd dusty peephole bra that's been there since 1978.
Those were the days, babe.
Where would we be? You know.
Yeah, it's a real shame. But that's gone from the high street now.
That's gone from the high street.
It's a real shame.
I mean, what happened on that subject? It's the old-fashioned flasher. Your friendly high street flash in a raincoat.
Well, I'm trying to bring that back.
I know you are. You've tried to introduce the comical garters holding the socks up. That style flasher.
Yeah, slip-on shoes.
Slip-on shoes.
Right, black socks just below the knee.
Yeah.
Garters. I mean, and then...
That is the friendly side of sexual harassment.
Well, do you know what it is, Barry? I blame global warming.
Go on.
Because as our winters are getting harsher...
Yes.
You know... It's just too much to ask to stand in a forest,
yeah.
You know, for 2 or 3 hours whilst it's freezing cold out there
with
nothing but a mac on and a pair of socks and slip-on shoes.
Yeah.
You, it's not fair to ask a Dutch old man to stand there for two or three hours.
To ply his craft.
Yeah, that's right, under those conditions. It's just not fair.
I've no doubt that somewhere in the European Union...
Oh, it'll be something. There'll be some rule.
Some rule about them meddling Brussels bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Will say, you know, for Parliament, he's not allowed to do it, you know.
Yeah, but no one's ever actually come out and said that.
Oh, no. I think Nigel Farage was trying to bring it back.
Oh, he's trying to bring
the old-fashioned British flasher. So if you want to see that...
It's part of his manifesto.
As his manifestos. They don't wear a vest, though. It doesn't make sense. But the...
Doesn't matter.
Nigel Farage... would like to reintroduce, as far as I'm concerned, the string vest, possibly.
The Yankee on the head.
The Yankee on the head. All the traditionally British, all right? Moaning about the weather, baked beans, shit parties in church halls.
Nothing open on a Sunday.
Nothing open on a Sunday. Channels on the telly. Casual racism.
Hearing aids with great big boxes on the front of your chest.
What is quintessentially English? And what's more, what could be more quintessentially English than the old-fashioned flasher? With a bit of stubble. A little dingle dangle and
a briefcase as if he's just come from work,
garters above his socks.
Bring that back
now. This reminds me, I wanted to just touch
touch what you like.
Did you, this is without getting, this is a little bit being very careful, being very careful,
treading very carefully here, Barry. Okay,
Max Clifford.
Treading very carefully.
Treading very carefully.
Like a tightrope. Let's see where he goes with this.
In court.
Oh, yes.
Didn't the barrister describe... He was apparently rumoured to have a micropenis. Not my words.
Okay.
Not my words.
Okay.
Micropenis did not come out of my mouth or into my mouth, thankfully, for that matter.
Go anywhere near you.
It didn't go anywhere near it. Micropenis was referred... Various people came into court and described Max Clifford's dingle dangle as a micropenis.
And that's what got him convicted.
Convicted.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a crime to have a small one.
No,
don't get me wrong.
No.
It wasn't on that alone.
Otherwise, you'd be a few more of us going down.
There'd be a few more of us. Absolutely. I mean, in your case, life should mean life. But anyway, wasn't it true?
Yeah.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, and I'm treading very, very
forgive us Ofcom if we're wrong about this.
That the doctor... Who had a look at Mr. Clifford's knob, said that when it was flaccid, it was an average 5.5 inches. Discuss. Discuss!
An average 5.5.
Average flaccid 5.5 inches. That's average.
Average, is it?
Is that average?
Well, it is against certain... Presumably certain areas of the population. But I didn't know that was the average English gentleman's accoutrement. What would you say, Barry? I mean, what would you say?
Or is it dangerous territory? What would you say is the average flaccid?
The average flaccid.
This is on the soft for anyone.
Penis.
Let me just... where's that tape measure?
Get the ruler out.
Get that ruler out. It's in this drawer.
That's it. Right. Just unbuckle. Just unbuckle.
Where do you measure from?
Well, where is it?
See that there?
Oh, yeah.
No, not that. That's a wart.
Oh.
But just beneath that.
Well,
is
you
want to
get that looked at, mate, honestly.
I will.
Because that
it is being looked at by you and the ladies through the glass.
I'm not professionally qualified to tell you what you should do with that.
Oh, you're not?
I don't think it should be there.
All right. Well, if you measure from.
Where do you mean go from?
Over about there.
Just lift up a bit. Lift up that fat.
My gastric flab has fallen
just,
over the top.
Just lift that up a bit.
Right, now there. I've measured that there. What would you say? What do you say that is?
Well, I don't want to laugh at it.
Don't laugh at it.
I'm going to laugh at it. I'm going to give you a complex. What we got there? One point seven
inches.
Being generous, really, with that. I've added a couple bits on there.
Oh, okay. Just to be nice. Well, is that so small?
No, I don't think so, Barry. I don't think so. Right, let's have a look at this. Just get mine out.
Angelos, it's just... Just... Don't worry, we'll edit this out later. Go on. Here it is.
Hey.
That's landed on there.
That's landed in a bit of something. Just get
roll that off.
Get the ketchup off it.
Let's get that ketchup off.
Clean it off. Right, get the tape. Right, unwind
move that
it.
Off there.
Unwind it. Go on. Keep hold of that end.
Hold on. Right. That's it. Hold on to that there. Okay. You got it?
Yeah, I got that over here.
Right, move that. Right. Hold on, let's just move that.
Move that cup out
move
of the way.
Move that cup out of the way.
Okay.
Is that a... Oh, there's a baked bean on that. That's, yeah. That's
flick that flick off. That flick that off. Oi!
Don't. Oh, not that bit.
Flick that bit.
Oh, that's it. That's right. Hold on. Let me hold
it up. Right.
Let me just get it up.
Okay.
Right, brilliant.
What was that sound here in there?
Hold on. Let me put my finger there and move the tape measure further up.
Put it over here.
Pull that up there.
That's it. What's that
do you want it metric or imperial?
Oh. Give us it metric. I'll convert it.
2.3 metres.
Now.
You're right.
Yeah, just trodden on a bit.
Don't stretch it. Don't exaggerate.
No, I don't need to.
Yeah, 2.3. I'd say that's 2.34
metres.
Now, that is not 5.5, is it?
No, exactly.
You're wildly
slightly different from the average.
Let me hand that back.
Roll that back.
Roll that back there. Yeah. Right, tap that in.
Just put that back in there.
So, well, there you are. Between us, there's a happy medium, presumably.
Well, between us, we've got the average.
I think so. Well, look, coming up, that was that. Coming up now...
What have we got coming up next? After that section.
We've got...
That surprising section.
We've got...
We didn't highlight that at the beginning of the show.
No, we didn't. No. But, you know, perhaps we're, you know, sending your suggestions as what's the average.
Surprise for the ladies.
Surprise for the ladies. Coming up now, we've got a couple of people called Eddie Argos.
Oh.
And the other name is not on here, so that's a good start.
And they're from Argos, are
and
they?
And they're from The Islanders, which is a play that's on at the Pleasance Theatre.
Oh, nothing to do with Argos.
And someone said something in my ear, which I didn't hear.
Oh.
Amy Mason, I'm so sorry.
Amy Mason is also in The Islanders. Currently
so
on
she's
the
in
Pleasance.
The, at the Pleasance, yeah. And they're going to come in here and they are going to tell us all about the play. We're gonna raise the level,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And we're just going to...
I blame Angela Barnes.
I blame Angela Barnes for the filth mongery that's gone in there.
Stuck in our brains.
Tuck that in your sock, and in the meantime, this is Your Drums, Your Love, Alanu George. Here we go!
Oi. Turn me up!
Your Drums, Your Love by... What was it called?
I don't know.
We don't know. We're never going to play it again.
Stick it up their
arses.
Right.
Here we go. We are joined in the studio by the Islanders. Amy Mason and Eddie Argos.
Hello.
We've had a little bit of a chat with them while you were listening to that pile of shit. And we like them.
Yeah, we do. We like what they're doing.
We're good.
We've got them in... And tonight is their last night, so it's
that's
perfect timing.
Handy for all of you out there who listen to this, yeah. And it's too late to go and
next year, quick.
We want to hear from them anyway.
We do. Welcome.
Thanks for having us here.
Now,
can we ask you this? I start off by referring to you as actors. You said you weren't sure you were actors. You are playing yourselves, and the show is based on a holiday you went to some years ago.
When we were a couple, like 15 or 16 years ago.
A long time ago.
Wow.
It was like a make or break holiday, but we broke up, so really, it was just a break.
Where was the holiday to?
The Isle of Wight.
Oh, it's normally quite romantic. Yeah. What did you do there? Stay in a hotel?
Yeah, we stayed in we thought it was haunted, a B&B. There's a song in the show called B&B Anxiety, which is about the sort of fear that you feel when you first go to a B&B when you're in your teenage years.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Is the breakfast free?
Of course.
You're 16, 17.
Things you don't
have to pay
about.
For everything? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I talk about the holiday and Eddie sings songs about it because Eddie's an art brute, obviously. And
Eddie's what?
An art brute.
I'm in a band called Art Brute.
Thank
you.
He knows a thing or two about music. Yeah, this one, Angela.
Thing or two.
music. No. Eddie is in the band Art Brute, sometimes plays bass guitar in Keith, T-O-T-P.
Oh, Keith, Top of the Pops is minor indie celebrity all-star backing band, yeah. I can't really play the bass, though, so I got kicked out when they know, 'cause there's so many in the band.
I think most people can play the bass.
No, really play the bass.
It doesn't matter.
There's so many, he has like 20 or 30 people on stage sometimes. And as his band got smaller, he began to realise, I think, that I wasn't actually doing anything. and I had to leave.
So you can hide in a great big...
Let me get this straight. So there's music and all sorts in your show.
Mm-hmm. We call it a lo-fi musical, but that, I mean, it is really... it's like, you know, a MasterChef where people make like a deconstructed apple crumble?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that, but like... really wonky and doesn't, and just, yeah, we call it lo-fi because it's got quite a few mistakes.
We didn't really know what we were doing.
A little bit like
I was just going to say that.
Vaguely experimental.
Write that down. We'll use that
perfect description of us. So, how long have you been doing this Shardish plan?
About 2 years now.
Two years?
Yeah. And we've caught you right
at the very end of it.
We've just got good at it. It's just finishing.
This morning, I remember the words for the first time, I think.
Why don't you do it again?
Yeah, maybe.
Now you've got good at it.
Maybe. My girlfriend hates the show.
Surprised.
Must be funny to relive that. It paid dividends, didn't it? Going to on a little holiday like that.
That's what the tech you sent me to begin with. Like, do you want to make a little bit of money out of our adolescence or something?
Yeah. We had a very... we lived in a bedsit and it was really, really skanky. We both moved out of home when we were very young. And it's like the longest, most convoluted form of therapy I've ever reinvented. That's like, write a show about something and perform it every day until your own life becomes nothing more than a series of honks and whistles in your head.
What do you do the rest of the time, Amy? You're an actress.
So, no, I'm a writer, really. This is the first piece of performance I've ever done. So it's really just me talking and then about it, what I remember, and then Eddie singing songs about what he remembers, but they're quite different, we remember.
Sounds fantastic.
What sort of stuff do you write, plays?
Well, this is the first piece of autobiographical stuff I've done. I've written a lot of short stories in the past and taught writing and stuff.
Really?
And you're a musician?
I can't really sing, but I sort of talk in a band. I'm a musician, I suppose. I should say.
Like
I'm
a
musician.
Happy
Marky
Smith.
Yeah.
Can I ask you? All right, so getting down to brass tacks, you were in this bed and breakfast together in the same room sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a couple, yeah.
Making love and that. And so... why would one person have a slightly different recollection
than
the other?
Were you each other's first girlfriend?
Oh, good question. Yeah.
Thank you, Barry.
No. Was I your first boyfriend?
My first boyfriend.
I'm a little bit older.
A little bit older.
He wrote a song about the girl he went out with before me and about how much he loved her always.
Oh, that's nice.
I always sound terrible when we talk about the Islanders. Yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, you're a bit of a wronger, aren't you? Your current girlfriend doesn't like you. When you were going out with her, you were singing about someone else.
Well, write about what you know. That's what you know. Right. Come on, Barry. Where were you?
What was it about this holiday that was good / bad?
I think, I think the thing is that we discovered when we started writing it was that he is quite optimistic, yes, generally, and he okay, really remembers it as being a very happy holiday, whereas, yes, I remember it as being bleak, really, really bleak. Well,
you were on the Isle of Wight, let's not forget that.
Did you go on the Allen Bay chairlift?
We did, yeah. And we've actually got a video of it in the ice. Yeah, we've got a kind of a fake holiday video, which has got the...
Did you go to Black Gang Shine?
I think we did.
Yeah, there's a song about it.
Been over there, haven't you?
I've been to Black... Oh, of course I have. What about... Is it Allen Bay where they do the lovely sand?
Yeah.
Different coloured sand.
Yeah, but I remember, yeah.
You want to get down the Isle of Wight, Angelos?
Yeah, I know.
It's very, very
you
nice.
You have showed it to me.
It's like the 19...
Different coloured sand.
It's like the 1950s there.
Yeah, lovely. I like it.
It's all lovely. It's sort of sandcastles,
bombed out buildings,
diphtheria, yeah, rickets,
polio.
Oh, it's wonderful. Just like rationing.
Wonderful.
It's lovely.
National service.
So you tell, and do you think that it appeals to people's sense of what they was like as young teenagers? They remember the hopes, the fears, the dreams.
Lots of people have cried.
At the end, we break up at the end. It's quite a sad.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. I don't know. I get a bit worried when, like, very old people come in, and I think
steady.
Yeah. And we start talking about, like, Kinnicky.
We swear quite a lot,
and we talk about Kinnicky and Biss and sort of bands from the '90s.
Oh yeah.
Cause I think people come in thinking, oh, it might be quite a nice recollection about the Isle of Wight. And I don't know. It's not really about that at all.
Really
actually,
we're living in a skanky bedsit and trying to escape by going on holiday.
Where was the bedsit?
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
You're seaside people, aren't you? Really?
Yeah, seaside people, yeah.
Out of the frying pan into
the fire.
So Bournemouth, I've got relations in Muddiford.
Oh, yeah.
Down there, so it was so nice.
You've got relations everywhere, mate.
I have, yeah.
Been here so long.
I have, haven't I? But what was so awful about this holiday? Can you just tell us in a nutshell what was...
I quite liked it. I think it's all right.
Well, you're the optimist.
Yeah, I'm the optimist,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it rained.
You're right, yeah.
We saw a cat get run over.
Nice.
That was pretty bad, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we saw a cat get run over. And what else happened? We ran out of money.
Mm-hmm. We have to go home a day early, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm sorry to sound, down a bit, but a musical play about having no money and a cat getting run over. I wouldn't personally be running out online giving me credit card details for tickets.
He stood her own, Barry.
We took the cat out. There's a whole song about the cat being squashed flat.
Right.
And the person that sort of helped us produce it said, yeah, stop talking about that cat. I know nobody cares.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, there's a video.
There's lots of jokes.
Lots of jokes, music. What about...
A personal story.
What do you think? Would you ever see an Islanders 2 coming out? I mean, have you tried to repeat the experience?
No, his girlfriend would.
Well, no, but your brother came to see it, and then afterwards he was talking to his girlfriend, and I thought, it's the next generation. It's like Islanders the next generation, so maybe someone else could write. Or maybe I could write a show about doing the Islanders and getting in loads of trouble with my girlfriend.
It's a book as well, we should say that, because... It's finishing, but we published it as a book by Nasty. It's published by Nasty Little Press, which is the Poet Luke Wright's publishing company. And we've got a Bandcamp with all the songs on. And if you email on there, you can buy the book, which is like a graphic novel. It's really, I'm really pleased with it.
Yes.
And you can listen to the songs. And if you like them, you can buy them.
Can you just tell me again, how do people access that?
So if they, I can't remember the address, but if they Google the Islanders.
Google the Islanders musical Bandcamp.
Yeah, or Bing it.
Yeah. Or just
Jeeves. We'll have a little look at that.
Jim Murray, the folk musician, wrote the songs with him. He's incredibly talented. So maybe buy it just
for
him.
He's a talented Islander.
Yeah.
And how long was it after you come back from this island that you split up?
It was all quite horrible, so our memories are quite... I think it was about a year afterwards.
Yeah, a bit less, maybe.
Clung on for a year.
It was pretty bleak.
Yeah, but it's an adorable musical.
Yeah,
so.
We can laugh about it now.
I'm glad you can.
So, look, you've been all around the country. You did it at Edinburgh last year. You've done the last night of the Pleasance tonight.
Yeah.
What's it like going around the country together? Do you get on well in a way that you didn't before on the island?
Yeah, I think. Well, the first time we did it, we sort of apologised to each other. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, we did. And it's funny, living with him for a month in a flat in Edinburgh was
hellish.
That's why you left me, isn't it? It reminded you.
Whose idea was it then to do it? It was your idea.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so you've been friends.
My best friend was going out with your best friend and they were still going out. So we sort of got in touch with each other through that.
Yeah. But we had always kept in touch.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's been described possibly by you as funny, refreshing, ultimately moving. It's a show that's about memory, first loves, growing up, squash cats. I put that bit in with words. And the winner of the Ideas Tap Edinburgh Award, the stage, what's on stage, give it 5 stars. Ooh. And described it as a beautiful metaphor of those, this is what I was getting at, those initial steps into the adult world.
Oh, is that what you were getting at, Barry, were you?
Something like that. Something I didn't like quite that. Put it as eloquent.
Can't get it there.
As that. Yeah. But please go to theislandersmusical.bandcamp.com.
Yes.
For
and
more
details.
You can
download the graphic novel or have a look at
and
that.
And the songs.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, they've been a lovely couple. Even if just for this afternoon. Amy Mason and Eddie Argos. There's a joke in there somewhere, but we won't go. Won't go there. Eddie and Amy, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Good luck.
Good luck with your next project. Good luck tonight. In the meantime, this is the Chemical Brothers.
Now I like them.
Now we like them.
I like the good rocking beat.
Back with another one of those black rocking beats.
For anyone who's just joined us now, it's not drilling in the next door studio.
Someone's been banging on the bins.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I thought I liked that but my mind has been changed.
The Chemical Brothers.
I can put up with that for about 10, 15 seconds, and then afterwards it just sounds like someone pounding.
Chemical Brothers.
On your head.
Makes me think of drugs. They're all on drugs.
I know what they're doing with names like that, don't they, Barry? It's for the young people. What you got there?
Well, I'll tell you what. A lady has been trapped upside down in a crash car for 6 days.
Oh.
Yeah, out in Denver.
Oh.
And
How did that happen?
She rolled down in a Chevrolet.
Oh, a Chevy.
35 metres down.
Notoriously unreliable motors.
And for any Chevrolet manufacturers, lawyers listening, that's just his opinion, and he knows fuck all about anything.
Yeah, I actually love Chevrolets.
So
if there is anyone listening from Chevrolet
who would like
and you think that I could be of help to you, then just send a car my way and I'll drive it round the streets saying, with its shine spray painted on the side of the door, saying, Angela Shepherd-Feme, you love Chevrolets. Yeah. And only Chevrolet.
And on that point, if there's anyone from Walls Viennetta...
Oh, you like one of them.
I do like a Viennetta.
Yeah.
If you would like my face, stroke Margaret's face, on the front of a Viennetta, Barry says, enjoy Viennetta, it's poshness without the price.
Yeah.
And steak, I'd be happy to advertise any steak that anyone wants.
If there's anyone listening from Londis... I don't mind sticking my face on your window if it means I can get in there after hours and get my hands on some of the stuff that you're going to chuck away or sell on the cheap.
If there's anyone in from the Daily Mail who's listening who would like my face on the front of it saying my Margaret always reads the Daily Mail, I'll be happy to do that.
Or Barry from Watford knows who killed Diana. You could put that on the front page of the Daily Mail.
If that will get me into Harrods
with
Mr. Fired with a discount, I'm happy to name anyone who may have bumped her off.
And I don't mind weighing in on that one myself. Yeah. If you do want me to give you a name, I'll happily give you any name.
And finally, anyone from Slippers, the slipper manufacturing
business.
Any slippers at all, but I don't like the more kimono style, espadrille type.
Yeah, what the Far East.
I don't like that.
The foreign ones.
A good old-fashioned tartan. No, it don't have to be corduroy, probably. No. A slipper.
What about a moccasin?
Yeah, I'll go a moccasin.
So what happened to this bird in her shed?
Anyway, it's a very sad story. I won't go quite to details, but what I wanted to know is, have you been stuck in a car or anywhere for any amount of time and unable to get out?
Well, yes, Barry, as a matter of fact.
Where was that?
I was stuck. You know, the other day, I was in my bedroom and I had a thought, these things stink.
Things in your bedroom?
Yeah, the old bedroom stunk. So I thought, I need to change my sheets and my duvet cover.
Okay, well, it is Easter, normally around about that time you do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I pulled off my duvet cover.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have to pull it off. It just sort of
chipped it off.
Disintegrated in my hand, you know, like powder.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'll get the other one out of the pack for the 2014 one.
Pack, yeah.
Get it out of the 2014 pack. And I start to stick it over the duvet itself.
Yes.
And once you do that, I climbed in there and I must have been in that duvet for 2 days
before
I sounded the alarm.
What did you do, fumbling around the place?
I was just in there. I was walking around like a ghost, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Just stuck inside the duvet cover.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, trying to make a cup of tea when you're stuck inside the duvet cover is very, very difficult. You don't know where anything is.
No,
trying to watch the TV is virtually impossible. All the things that you take for granted are trying to ride a motorbike, anything, all the things you take for granted.
I suppose.
Suddenly much, much harder when you're stuck inside a duvet.
I expect.
You don't realise how good you've got it.
Well, you know, wrapped up in a duvet, trying to watch the telly, completely incompetent, nothing to do all day. You'd be like any student
In
this country.
Yeah, surprisingly, the only thing you can do inside a duvet is make a pot noodle.
Yeah, that's right. And moan about your timetable this term.
Yeah, or play Xbox.
Yeah.
Endlessly.
Or make naive comments about politics.
Yeah, that's your uninformed.
Uninformed.
Free Nelson Mandela.
Yeah,
that sort
that.
Of thing. Yeah.
And the other, well, I got stuck in my shed. You know the shed that got my garden?
I know the one.
Margaret.
Your potting shed.
I was in the potting shed. And Mum Margaret pushed, the thing that flattens the lawn. She pushed it against
the roller. Yeah, what's she do?
She pushed it against the door. So
okay.
I was stuck in
because she's got a bit of, you know, she's got a bit of brawn.
She's got
she?
A bit of brawn. That one,
no problem for her. She pushed a 10-ton roller up against the shed door.
There's only so many times you can read the directions to a shellacking oil before you're going insane. I managed to find some Rizzlers.
Yeah.
I managed to roll up some of my tomato plants.
Oh.
I smoked that. I was
off. You must have been out of your box.
My tits, I tell you something.
Out of your box.
The plum tomato.
Yeah.
If you roll it up.
Dry it out.
Dry it out. And I was there long enough to dry it out.
Yeah.
Cut it with some Cutter's Choice tobacco.
Yeah.
I used the filter of an old dock leaf that I'd found growing in through the corner of the shed.
Gotcha.
I enjoyed it so much, I found a News of the World from 1982, which
What was on the front cover?
Oh, Gary Glitter, of course.
Oh, was he Glitter?
And
was
felt,
nothing
I
Jeff, Jeff Capes story?
Capes is on page three.
Page three.
So I managed to roll up Gary Glitter, took great pride in burning him.
Burning his face off.
I burned his face off, and I must have taken 3 tokes of, and it must have been
of
the poison
face.
Of Gary Glitter. A plum tomato and some Cutter's Choice. I was high as a kite.
Lovely.
I was high as a kite.
But I bet if you smoked Gary Glitter, you must have had a bad trip.
Oh, I had a terrible trip.
Yeah.
He kept in my head pounding, do you want to be in my gang, my gang,
the
my
leader.
The leader. I kept saying, no, I don't.
But I'm stuck in this shed, so what can I do?
You know, I didn't know I loved you till I saw your rock and roll. Please, out of my mind,
you
Gary.
Get you know. Away from me.
Come on. I
don't
want to come on.
No.
And all I could see, every time I go to that putting shed, all I can see is Jeff Capes and Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
But eventually,
it's not
I was
a bad feat. I mean, Capes is all right with his budgie regards, isn't he?
Oh, Capes was wonderful.
Capes.
Capes was one of the greats. Was one of the greats. If there's anyone now who's stuck, locked in anywhere in a duvet,
give us a call.
Give us a call if you're able
give
to.
Us a call and we'll talk you down. We'll talk you out of that situation.
I don't know who we can send out there. One of those beardy weirdies in the other room who deals
one,
with a computer.
One of the cable goblins.
One of the cable goblins. We'll send him out to rescue you. But for God's sake, keep safe, kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Talking to kids.
Talking to kids.
In a moment, in a couple of moments, we've got three kids. I mean, they can't be much older than about
5 or 6.
5 or 6 years old. And what they do is they do rapping. They're all over the YouTubes, all over the internet. And I think they're on E4. They're called the Midnight Beasts. I don't know where they got that name from. And they rap about stuff. So if that's your cup of tea, hang on, and they'll be on to talk about what they do.
Well, we are going to welcome the youngsters in. If any youngsters listen, it's the Youngsters Hour, and we're going to kick things off with the contemporary sound of Hall & Oates. I can't go for that.
The Youngsters. One.
One of our military tunes there by
Hall & Oates, who were both originally in the Scots Guards. Now, we are joined by three little boys off of the telly. It's called the Midnight Beasts.
Hey, guys. Hey. How's it going?
What's that got to do with you?
None of your nose.
We'll answer the questions if you don't mind. So, you are the Midnight Beast.
Yes.
Sometimes known as TMB.
Yes, sure.
People that can't be bothered to say the Midnight
the lazy
Beast. You're lazy. You're lazy fans.
Yeah.
So, guys, great question to start with. Where did you get that name from?
It was a bit of a random word search. Me and Drew were going to be DJing under the name, and so I kind of wrote it on my cupboard.
Right, let's get the name sorted. You are...
My name is Stefan.
We've got Stefan here, and he's got a lot of curly hair.
He has.
And then in the middle we have...
I'm Ash.
We've got Ash, who's got the chiselled jaw.
Oh, hey.
And wonky eyes. And on the end...
I'm Drew.
We've got Drew, the mysterious one.
Yeah.
With a beard, and he's got a hat on indoors, which leads me to believe he's losing his hair. Are you losing your hair, Drew?
Huh?
You losing your hair?
No, I've got a lot of hair, mate.
You got a lot of
too
hair.
So much under
so
there.
So much that it's just, you know, it's been kept under there.
He's making up for it with his beard. Basically.
Okay, I mean, you know, I don't want to insult you.
Now, you are a comedy stroke parody music group from London. That's not a parody of comedy, is it, you're doing? You actually parody music. And I wanted, really, them to do some of their stuff, but they need a guitar.
No, they don't need a guitar. They say that to get out of doing it. Don't they? Well, we're not going to let them get out of it.
No, presently we're going to ask them to do some of their stuff. Yes.
I'm going to lay down some fat beats here on the table, and they are going to sing along or whatever it is they bloody well do.
Sure.
And show themselves.
Right. Drew can freestyle and we can clap.
Why
that sounds really
don't
good to
put
us.
Me on the spot. You've got some great rapping skills.
Yeah,
mate.
Of course, mate.
Okay. Drew is not wanting to get involved with this. But the other two are keen as mushrooms.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Now, you kids at home, you probably know them because you've got hundreds of thousands of hits on their YouTube channel. Don't know what that is, YouTube channel.
I think we're talking millions of hits.
Millions of hits. Fans on Facebook. It says there's 78,000 followers on Twitter. Is that how...
I've got 130,000. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I've got something like that. No. Yeah. Is that what...
That means nothing.
That what you put your success down to, fellas?
It definitely helps a lot having people there that are going to look and click on a link, definitely. But sometimes... Well, yeah, normally, you know, it's just numbers on the screen, so if they're turning up too, it's definitely a good thing.
Sure. You've got to convert some of this stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, you do.
When you say turning up to your gigs...
To our shows and stuff,
yeah.
Because you do a telly programme, don't you, on Channel 4?
That's right.
We do, yeah.
E4.
E4.
Channel 4 sounds a little bit better. And we just finished the second series, so
Congratulations, how's it gone, Jack?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. We got to work with one of our favourite directors, Al Campbell. And Al Campbell? Yeah.
From UB40?
Not that one. And we did a lot of musical numbers in it, which is what we do.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was good fun.
Oh, nice.
And then, I don't meet many young people.
I know, I'm keen to speak to them.
Keep
you energised.
So you do the gigs, live gigs. Are you touring gigs or do you do it, mostly London, is it? Or what?
Yeah, we've done a few tours, haven't we?
Yeah, we did a couple tours last year. We played, we did Shepherd's Bush Empire in London. We did
good gigs.
And then we do a lot of the festivals as well, which is good fun.
Yeah, rock and roll, mate.
I did a festival with you a few years ago.
Yeah.
Was it? It was Reading and Leeds, wasn't it?
It was Leeds.
I see
you were sniffing around backstage.
Stealing the food. Yeah.
I bet you young people go to them festivals, I bet you're beating them off with a shitty stick.
Literally,
truth. Well, you don't want to do that. That's disgusting. It's impolite. So you're doing well with this show. You've made parody videos in collaboration with MTV and BBC. How do your parodies go down with the real artists?
It varied. Our first one was Kesha, and she took it well. Her record label did send us a copyright threat.
What did you do with that? Shove that straight in the bin, mate.
Straight away, we got back and kind of bent our heads and went, guys, we're just having a little bit of fun and they let us get away with it because they actually use it as a promotional tool.
Well, this is it. It benefits everybody.
Kesha even tweeted after seeing the video, he said, holy shit, this is better than my version.
That's exactly what he said.
What's he like? Is he nice in real life? Is Kesha a person?
Yeah, he's pretty cool, actually. We met him there. You got something in your eye, mate.
Thanks.
What's going on? It's a woman.
Is it a woman?
We're not sure until this night.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really cool. It's a really nice person.
Yeah. My mum actually went in the bathroom after at Glastonbury and there was glitter in the toilet and she's known for her glitter things.
Yeah.
It's coming out everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. Leaving it on the bulk floor.
Yeah.
Music artist Jay Sean, never heard of him, also had a positive response to his parody saying, ha ha ha, brilliant, someone should mix this with pants on the ground.
Now, we still don't know what that means.
We don't know what
pants on the ground is. Is it his pants on the ground?
Presumably you've got that quote on all your papers.
It's the main one, actually. Yeah. In front of our albums, absolutely. Every album.
Someone should mix this with pants on the ground.
It don't mean anything,
man.
Now, you also, and you're going to like this, well, I don't know, you might be mildly appalled, Angelos. They've attracted minor controversy with their musical parodies with lines like one up the bum, no harm done. What's that all about then?
That was Marie Stopes hired us to get involved in a sex campaign, not promoting sex, but to be safe.
To be careful with it.
Yeah.
To use precaution.
And we wrote a song and we said that you wouldn't get pregnant during anal intercourse, but then they actually turned around and they said, well, no, Marie Stopes went for it.
Yeah.
We put that out.
Yeah.
You did a song about anal sex and Marie Stopes turned round. What was she hoping was going to happen? She turned around and said what?
Well, no, they backed out the campaign.
Yeah, yeah, so basically they backed it the whole way, and then as soon as it was on the front page of the Metro and stuff.
Yeah, on the right stuff, and they were going, oh, no, but that's promoting
anal sex, which Drew loves.
Drew actually saw it in a pamphlet, and we were just regurgitating. It's not even original content.
And then they backed out of the campaign as soon as they should have listened to it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Marie Stopes is some sort of sexual health person.
Yes, we think so. We still don't know. Yeah, we think so. But
well, I had a little slip once in that department. It fell in. It fell in. No more than that.
Oh, and
there was a lot of harm done. Actually, I got elbowed in the eye by.
Who was this fella?
You've met him, my neighbour Reg. We were fixing his lawnmower.
He's only a small bloke, isn't he?
We were fixing his lawnmower and he had his trunks on, it was very hot.
Yeah.
And I actually.
You were fiddling around with his starter at my
I was fiddling around with his starter motor. Yeah. I mean, up to that point, I'd only ever borrowed a cup of sugar. And next thing I know, I've buggered him. But the thing is that.
That's right.
The thing is that, you know, you were trying to do some good. Do you see?
Absolutely.
Do you see yourselves, apart from filthmongers, as being, you know, a force for good for young people?
Definitely. I mean, it was quite inspiring, actually, because after all of that, some of our fans kind of got on Twitter and went, if you kind of think that the youth are that stupid to believe idiots like the Midnight Beast, then, you know, you're stupid yourselves. And I think it's a good point. I don't think a lot of people give them a lot of kind of scope.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, yeah, we like to try and do good. Superheroes of South West London, you know. Yeah.
With quotes like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
humility is an important thing, isn't it?
It is.
Right, with the young. Now,
that's right.
Sure, you're not. So you've released a book in 2011 called Book At Us Now.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
cool title, right?
Yeah, no, I must have taken you. what was that all about then?
That was
it was basically a parody.
A few years
on
ago, wasn't it? Now, so you're probably sick of talking about this.
People might stop going on about it, mate.
Talking.
It's a parody on a boy band annual.
Yeah,
basically.
It's us talking about, you know, some made up stories that have made it onto our Wikipedia page, which is good for future work. And then other stuff that is true fact. We've known each other for a long time.
Mixing fact and fiction. Is there anything you do not a parody?
We parodied a bit of everything. Sometimes we step back from a few ideas. We were parodying a little Willow Smith song once, you know, Will Smith's daughter. And we thought we better back out of that one.
Yeah, it was Whip My Hair Back and Forth. We changed it to There's a Boner in My Shorts.
It's shit, isn't it?
No, I think you're in rocky territory.
With a little girl there.
And we knew Will would get annoyed as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He's notorious litigious. Now look, we've got that. What we're going to do is we're going to go to a song. We had some people filming this just now.
I know. I think they were from MI5.
It's the first time we've had some, you know, had people important enough to be filmed.
So we're going to. What are they filming that for?
I have no idea.
We assume they were
home videos? I don't know.
Oh, I see.
So look, listen, while they're changing their battery or erasing everything they've just filmed, we're going to hear some proper music now for you young people. This is to remind you of the new term about to start, September, Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh, lovely. Modern stuff.
We're here with the Midnight Beast. Don't go away.
No, don't
go away.
Please don't go away.
Join in, here we go!
Just go on, didn't it? I think they ran out of words at the end. They ran out of ideas.
September, earth, wind, fire, mist, and drizzle.
Snow and hail.
And hail. We're here with the Midnight Beast. TMB. And they was telling us just now.
Off air,
all the private things happened off air. All the real juice happened off air. They've been composing an opera.
Just a bit.
We wrote and filmed one for Comedy Central US.
Big time.
The state one. They're the one in the States. And that's going to go out online at some point.
What sort of opera? How does that work?
Well, it's again a parody.
of same theme every single day. Yeah, yeah, same theme.
Yeah, watch R. Kelly stuck in the cupboard.
Yeah, so, yeah,
you've got it straight away. It's kind of it's a house party.
How
we've
do
woken
you parody
up.
That?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, wow. We wake up from a house party.
Parodied The Hangover, basically,
and we realise something happened last night. So it's us trying to piece together night, and each one tells each of our stories. Yeah. In musical form, so we've got a bit of a Michael Bublé number from Ash, the first one. Sure. Then we've got a bit of, who have we got in a second? A bit of Papa Roach, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. And then Drake and is then the last one.
Drake.
Big Drake fan?
Don't get me started on Charlie Drake.
We love Charlie Drake.
My boomerang won't come back.
Love that. R. Kelly, Lorraine Kelly, we like as well.
She's a classic.
She's a classic. Loved her. No, but we do know Drake, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't
we
played so in the other week. Load of old crap. A lot of the N-words.
Yeah,
don't like that.
Yeah,
we're not keen on.
Horrible, isn't it?
Don't like that.
I'll tell you what, if one of them rappers comes in here to chat to us, we're in trouble, mate.
Yeah.
We've slagged off all of them, haven't we?
Well, we've asked them. Talking of which,
what's that?
We got three rappers here.
Yeah.
And we're trying.
We're so scary.
Well, now,
they tried to back out earlier.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have it.
Because you're young boys,
keen to get on.
Always keen.
They might be tempted without a guitar to have a go.
Have a little sing song.
Now, we don't want to put you under too much pressure.
Especially you, Drew, who looks unbelievably reluctant to do this.
We've never done this before. Honestly, we've never done it.
We've never done this before.
We've never.
That's probably why. Don't do that.
What are you planning to give us now?
Well, I guess we could give you... let me guess.
Oh, okay. Is it a parody?
No.
It's an original.
No, mate. Sorry.
Original number.
Original.
Why do we have parody, mate?
Legal issues and all that.
Yeah.
Well, there won't be any legal issues.
No, not here. Don't worry.
Okay. We might give you a track from, I don't know, our new album.
Yeah, which comes out on the 2nd of June.
That's the 2nd of June this year.
Stickheads.
Yeah, that's the album name. I think we'll give you one about what we might be like when we're older.
Okay.
It's called When I'm Older.
Yeah.
Take it away. This is The Midnight Beast with
When I'm Older.
We have a little bit of help.
I'll do it on your hands. It sends everything.
Let's go.
Haywire.
Alright.
Here we go.
When I'm old, will I still say shit? When I'm old, will I still look up porn?
A little bit.
Will I still have sex?
Correction.
Try and have sex with a flaccid erection. Wearing a dumb mic, doing shitty rap. Maybe I'll be fucking awesome and get crap. Rolling in a Jaguar, popping the Viagra. Friends for jealous, my lady's brain will look like Hefner. Wake up, different girl each timer. Don't know my name though. Alzheimer's. Wake up, different girl each timer. Shit, I've done the same bit again. Alzheimer's. The midnight beast still raised the roof. Still getting clocked for the TikTok spoof. 60 years on, still going strong. I'd still be dancing, but my back. When I'm older, still get intoxicated every day, inebriated. When I'm older, still getting batshit wasted, then getting resuscitated.
I'm dead. Just kidding. How else would you hear me, dummy? I'm an antique. Stop bidding. The other pensioners look at me funny, because they know I know I'm in town, crashing the party. Back at the club, Horlicks, Bacardi. Never go home, granddaughters unhappy. Keep going when I fill up my nappy. When I'm old, when I play Donkey Kong, sitting in my armchair, sparking a bong. It's for glaucoma, not an addiction. Ask the doctor, it's prescription. When I'm old, will I eat at Hooters? Pull up, getting head on the mobility scooter. Still playing FIFA, smoking Reaper. Gramps on tour, getting wankered in FIFA.
Na 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 na. When I'm older.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older, still get intoxicated every day, inebriated.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older, still getting batshit wasted, then getting resuscitated.
When I'm old, will I still look fly? Kissing them girls, making them cry. Still got the guns,
still
got the eyebrows. Wanna fit?
There's no need to lie now.
Playing balls back at the car park, gambling money, buying chinos and Primark. When I'm old, will I still have orgies? Young women in their early 40s,
half blind, half deaf.
The ladies love me, I'm a
G-Y-L-F.
Granddad, you'd like to?
Shh.
Let's have a game of strip chess. The ladies love me cause I still got a beedo. Still rocking speedos. Banned from the pool cause I look like a pedo. But I'm not a pedo, I'm honestly not a pedo.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older.
Na 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 na.
Still get intoxicated every day, inebriated.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older.
Na 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 na.
When I'm older.
Still get getting batshit wasted, then getting resuscitated.
Yeah, fabulous.
Okay. I'd like to see the lyrics sheet for that. I feel like a bloody encyclopedia.
Something I've got to ask.
Oh, go on, Dave.
That pricked my ears up. Oh,
yeah, I noticed you flagged this up during the middle of the show.
During that,
I think I know what you're going to say.
You said, and still having orgies. How many do you go to
this
orgies?
Was this guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Does that
happen? Every day I have at least a couple of orgies.
Is that an
You shouldn't do it every day, twice a day, because it'll lose the novelty factor.
All rappers lie in their songs.
Yeah, that is true. That's something you guys have to learn about rap.
They bend the truth.
They pretend they're rich. They pretend they're, you know,
having orgies.
But they've got hoes. But they don't really.
We'll never know the truth. I'm just letting you know the truth. We'll never know the truth.
Yeah. No, they lie about their backgrounds. Yeah, well.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Ageist, but it was certainly it was an eye opener, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an eye opener. Little look on from the words that I could hear and understand. I'm not mucking about. You did speak very quickly. You have to listen very hard. I'm sure there are kids that learn all of the words and sing them back to you. Do you get that when you're on tour, like people singing your songs back to you?
That must be a mega buzz.
It's good. And some of the lyrics are crap as well. Like the other day I had a
really
piece
bad.
Of toast.
Yeah,
it's fun to see people singing that back.
Definitely.
Yeah. We did Reading Festival and there was people moshing to a song about politics called House Party, just like hitting each other. They're just angry.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, they just want to get off their shits on drugs, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they're about.
Fair enough.
Our average fan.
Fair enough. Are you enjoying yourself doing it though?
Absolutely. It's very good fun. Yeah. We can kind of say whatever we want. And sometimes get front page of Metro for that as well.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Responsibility.
Is it a full time job for you? Are you still working at Argos and things like that?
Drew managed to actually quit Homebase quite recently.
Well done.
I was in the garden centre department.
Fair enough. You look the type with that little beanie hat on. You haven't shaken it all off, have you?
No.
Still got that on.
Still got the knowledge about plants up there.
A discount because he wants decking permanently, but I'm after a barbecue and
brilliant
some of them creosote, Grecian pots.
Yeah.
What would you recommend, mate?
All of it. Get it all. I'll take you shopping.
We'll
pick the best ones.
Yeah,
discount.
Yeah.
How much percent do you get off, mate? How much was the 10%?
10%.
10%.
Oh, that's rubbish, mate.
How long
about 6 years.
That's a shit discount, mate.
That is really bad.
Did you ever use it?
Sometimes.
Did you ever find it?
Just to buy the old perennial or two.
Absolutely.
Big time, mate. Good.
Well, listen, that has been an absolute...
Hold on a minute, Barry. One question we haven't asked.
What's that? Oh, I know. You dirty devil. Go on.
How much money are you making?
Is it a lot?
Enough to leave Homebase. I think that's enough to buy some
perennials once a week,
basically.
How much a week you get?
We're talking billions, mate. No, we're not.
We're talking hundreds every hour.
Can you be any more specific
on that?
More specific.
What was the last check you got? How much was it for?
I think it was about £90.
No, that was in cash though, wasn't it?
We got 90 in cash. It was like £90.
Backhand job, mate.
T-shirt.
I don't think I believe you.
My benefits check
was about that much.
The rap game doesn't pay like it used to.
No.
So we do roofing in our spare time.
Well, you've got to be touring, isn't it?
You don't get royalties, do you? No, you don't. You've got record sales and illegal downloads.
Stick with it as long as you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get yourself a trade.
Yeah, get yourself a trade.
On the side.
You could probably get a show here, couldn't they?
Yeah, I'd have thought so. Yeah.
Will we be looking at more than £90?
Yeah.
Check.
Not more than £90 a year.
Well, I mean, you break it down, it's like
It's not much.
Okay.
No, it's
so you're not looking at that. You're not even.
It's three of you as well.
Well, yeah.
It's even worse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But it sounds tempting.
Like, if it's so a last result, if your wrapping dries up, then get yourself down here.
Get yourself down here. We might be able to pull a few strings.
Duncan, the boss, we've got his ear.
We've got his ear.
Okay? So if you do need a favour.
You do. Oh, thank you.
You guys sound great.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
that's very kind of you.
All right, boys. Okay.
And what was the, the last question you wanted to ask was about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's that? What's that you're doing there?
Right, who's birded up and who isn't?
Who's birded up? Who isn't?
Who's birded up?
Who would like to contact the show and go out with any of these three potty mouth young men?
These two out here are single.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Come on.
All right. Drew, do you want to announce your...
What?
You're getting engaged.
He's getting engaged, everyone. Drew Wakely's getting engaged. You heard it here first. Drew's getting engaged.
Who to?
I don't know, someone apparently.
It's Drew again, isn't it?
It's just the rapper and us lying.
We're trying to give you stuff. We're trying to give you anything,
He's out of picture. What about you? Orgies?
Orgies.
Him with the orgies.
Married to the orgies, aren't you? The idea of
I kiss and don't tell.
And what about you?
And I
don't kiss, mate.
You with someone, and if you are, what is his name?
His name is Ashley Horn, and he's here. And I get to see him every day. In the job
that
I do, and he's next to me.
We thought our work would bring us closer together, but it's actually just
we've known each other for a long time, and it's made it a lot easier. Because when you've got a foundation of friendship,
absolutely,
it's easier to build a relationship.
It's made me feel awkward. What about me?
He's always the third wheel. This one,
you can't have three in a relationship. That's mad. There's TV programs. We could try that kind of thing.
Okay,
well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you. To coin one of your phrases, one up the bum, no harm done. Until next time, the wonderful...
Totally agree with that, Barry.
Midnight Beast. They will be back another time.
Oh, for sure.
And thank you for coming. It's nice to have proper celebrities. Not the usual old rubbish.
Shit we get on here. See you. Rapping in it. Rapping in it. Who's that?
Nelly Furtado.
Oh. She used to be good, you know.
She used to be good.
A few years ago. She's gone off the boil a little bit.
She has. Maneater. Is that one from a while ago, or was that a recent?
I remember the one, Nelly. Remember that one?
I'm like a bird, I want to fly away.
Mega-rit.
Pardon?
A mega-rit.
Oh, a mega-rit.
Yeah, and I don't know, I've not heard that.
I've not heard that.
You remember that Natalie and Sergio?
Natalie and Bruglias?
Natalie and Bruglias.
I remember her. She'd done Naked.
I don't know, Naked.
I'm all out of date.
Yeah. It's Naked.
Bound and naked on the floor.
But the song was called Torn, but not Naked.
Yeah. The naked...
Naked featured in the song.
In the song, the word naked.
That's the one that Caesar stood out for. You know, she nicked that song.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that controversy. She said, what's wrong with it? I didn't write it, so what?
Well, I'll tell you so what, mate. She went on TGI Fridays.
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, do you?
And she said, what, this is a song I wrote?
Well, Chris Evans said, did you write that song? She went, yeah, I wrote that song.
Oh.
Turned out some Norwegian fella had written it.
That's it.
And recorded it.
That's it.
And
she
had lied through her teeth.
She lied.
Do you know what she's doing now?
What's she doing now?
She's on stage in Bristol doing some farce.
Oh, she's doing the Alan Ayckbourn.
She's doing the Alan Ayckbourn.
She's doing the Alan
Ayckbourn. You're going to take Margaret to see Natalie and Brulio to the Alan Ayckbourn?
Not if it involves naked and being torn. Absolutely not. She probably claims she wrote half Alan Ayckbourn to plays.
Exactly, I think that is what she's saying. In the press release, she's saying that.
Did you write a chorus of disapproval? Are you responsible for Britain's leading playwright, most produced playwright of the 20th century?
Well, I wrote all of them. I was behind a lot of that stuff. Me and Alan Ayckbourn did a workshop, and although I didn't write it, I would stand behind him and talk, and he would write it down. And unfortunately, he has been credited with words.
Do you know what? All them young people listening to us with the Midnight Bees, this is the beauty of this show.
Oh, yes,
about 5 minutes later, we're discussing Alan Ayckbourn and
Canon of Work.
His Canon of Work.
Yeah.
And the connection with an Aussie soap star from about 20 years ago.
Kids, we're bang up to date.
We're
mate.
Bang up to date, kids. And you keep listening.
Seen any good plays recently? You get to the theatre much with Margaret?
Well, Barry? The thing is with Margaret, she can't sit there for too long because of the coughing.
Oh yeah.
She coughs and coughs and coughs all the way through. I say, Margaret, for goodness sake, put a cork in it, you know.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up.
You're disturbing everyone around you. They've all paid their money.
The worst one was we went to the National Theatre to see King Lear.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And it
was 3 hours of your life you don't get back.
Oh, you don't. And it's very long and boring. I don't know if you've ever seen Shakespeare before, but none of it makes sense.
No.
Presumably that's why people like it. Yeah, I'm told that's why they like it.
They would like to feel intellectually superior.
The harder it is to understand what the hell is going on, apparently as a rule of thumb,
the
that means it's good.
The more they like it.
The more they
like
it.
The more complicated and inexplicable and inaccessible it is, the better the production,
the more that this is the way this as a rule
go and
of thumb,
review that Steve Bennett.
Yes, yeah, Steve Bennett, go and review King Lear. Now that is ancient jokes falling on stony ground, let me tell you that. Right, okay, as a rule of thumb, anyone who's interested
how
in
it
has not been how it worked. The more expensive the tickets,
yes,
the more irritating the clientele who are actually in the auditorium is.
Okay.
The longer the play, the harder it is to understand, and the lack of any scenery to look at.
Yeah, you want a good black wall.
That's a good night out. That's a good play.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently.
Yeah, you want to get up your way up the West End and spend 3 hours sitting, listening to a load of old bullshit that you don't understand, that you pretend to understand afterwards.
Yeah.
And you come out and go, oh, I really like the subtext. I really like the subtext.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a good night out. Is that right, Barry? Is that what you're telling me, Barry?
That's what I'm saying. That's ostensibly it. Plus, if there's any acting that you've never been heard of, that also apparently
that also
marks
helps.
It out.
It's good. Five stars across the board.
Five stars. Right? Time out. Really boring. Go and see it.
Go and see it. That's 3 hours of your life. You'll never... What about Brian Connolly in Cinderella, eh? At the Woking Peacock Centre.
Have you seen Brian Connolly's review at the Woking Peacock Centre for Cinderella?
Yeah. You won't have seen
you
it.
You won't.
No.
Because
won't have seen it.
Because Charles Spencer from The Telegraph ain't going to go down and see that, is
he's
he?
He's not going to get on a train, pop is down to Woking, see Brian Connolly, play buttons in Cinderella. He's not going to bother.
A sensation. Nicholas de Jong, five stars. Sue Pollard in You Rang My Lad on tour at the Winter Gardens Bournemouth was sensational. You ain't going to see
you're
that.
You're not going to see that, you know, because he's got no one you've heard of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for a start, you can understand it.
Yeah, oh, you can understand it. It's fun. People like it.
Yeah, everyone's having a good time.
It's not too long. Oh, no. No, don't want to say that. No,
I'm sorry. No. I can't go to
can't
that.
Go that. Now, in... Stuffy nonsense. In the newspaper...
Oh, yeah.
Prince William...
King of England.
Was spotted.
He's a top, isn't he? In
economy class.
What?
Flying home from a friend's wedding
in
the US. Yes.
What, he's sitting in there with all the scam and that?
Yeah, William.
I know what he's done.
What's he done? What's he done?
He's paid someone.
To look
a king's ransom.
Yes.
You sit on a plane, dress up like him, you know, with a crown on and a sash.
Holding a sceptre.
That's it, right. With a blue blazer, with one of them badges on the pocket.
That's it.
Like with them trousers, pair of farrows.
That's it.
With creases down the front, pair of black slip-on shoes.
Looking all posh.
That's right.
Regal.
And a slightly bald pate. and he paid them to sit there to look like him so that people think, oh, look at King William,
yeah,
or Prince, whatever he
yeah,
is.
That's it.
You could look at him sitting there like, oh, you know, like scum-like.
That's it. He's hired a couple of flunkies.
Yeah, couple of flunkies. That's it. You can get them out the back of the stage. It's not a problem.
That's a word you only hear in the tabloid, isn't it? Flunky. Yeah, no one. Oh, it's a couple of flunkies.
Yeah. Prince William, age 32.
Was reported by a couple of flunkies as paying someone from a looky-likey agency to dress in a regal velvet cloak, a crown, knighting people as they go past.
Yeah, white socks up to his knee and velvet plush for us.
That's it. And someone has gone, oh, that's Prince William. Well, I'm not an idiot.
I didn't think they actually dressed up like that, these royal people.
Of course they do.
Yeah, no,
the Queen, has swan for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, she wipes her bottom with a swan.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because it's
soft and downy.
Very soft and downy. And then she just chucks him in the river.
She wipes her bottom with a swan.
Yes.
Chucks it out the toilet window, and Prince Philip's down there going, POM! You know, shoots it. Now, whether they eat the swan later is, you know.
Well, they plucked it first.
Oh, they plucked it. You know, but they have the finest foods.
They do, don't they?
The milk they drink on their Weetabix and that comes from a virgin's tits.
Like Cleopatra.
They have the lot, you know, swan at the bottom with a swan.
With a swan.
You know, just for a laugh, for a snack.
Right.
Just for a snack. You know, one of them white pumas that are very, very rare.
Very expensive, I'd have thought.
They'll get that
shipped
over from Lord Farquhar living out in the Raj.
Middle East.
That'll be sent over.
Yeah.
And just for a snack, they'll lob off one of its legs and eat it.
Bung it on the barbecue. Well, they can do that because they've got, untold wealth, haven't they?
I think it brings down the status of the monarchy to be seen in economy class.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I will write a letter to him saying, listen, mate, we're not giving you the most part of my taxes that I don't pay anyway because I'm on benefits that I'm taking.
Yeah.
But people I know aren't paying their taxes to see you sat in economy class watching... Flabber with Robin Williams or whatever it is he was in, that Toy Store, or one of them.
Eating an egg wrap.
Yeah, eating an egg wrap, right? Yeah. And watching a film on one of them tiny little screens on the back of someone's head, right? We're not paying you. You want to keep up standards, mate.
At least don't rub our noses in it.
Yeah.
You know.
We know you can afford first class.
Don't
take the piss out of us.
We're not idiots.
Stupid.
You know, we don't want to sit you there looking at that plastic laminated menu, getting money out of your pocket and saying, oh, I'll have the meal deal, some Pringles and a can of milk.
Couple of PG chips. What about you, Sylvester? Yeah, you'll have one too? Yeah. Tarquart.
Tarquartingtons. Tarquart.
Would you like a cup of tea? Yeah, so it's 3 cups of tea, please, for me and my flunkies.
Yeah.
We'll have cups of tea and then some Pringles, please.
Yeah. You know.
We know what you're doing. You're just trying to be one of us.
Keep in with the people and it ain't working.
No, you won't. You won't be able to.
We know you wipe your bottom with a swan.
Swans
we
and then shoot it and eat it.
Shoot it and eat it. In the meantime, here's someone who has really been... He's a voice for the people.
Yeah.
Begsy.
Who?
Is he from the Stone Roses? Oh, it's the Happy Mondays, isn't he? Who's the one who done the dancing?
What's his name?
Degsy?
With the teeth in it. The one with the teeth.
That will teach me.
The one who had
me.
His teeth done that, from Big Brother. Bez!
Bez! That will teach
me. Here's something for you, right?
Go
his
on.
Name was called Ben, but the N fell over.
That's brilliant.
True story.
Is that true?
True story.
That's what they like to say. Well, anyway, it's not him anyway.
No, it's the Stone Roses.
That was my terrible attempt to segue out of something to do with William. And in the meantime, have the Stone Roses on. But I got the wrong band to teach me to try and be clever.
Still, they're from the same part of the world.
Same part of the road.
Ballpark.
Is, the Maiden Stone
the
by
Stone Roses.
Stone Roses. Here we go.
One, two, three, four. Stone Roses. Finally, we get to play them on the right show.
Yes, the Stone Roses. We played an awful lot of rubbish during this.
Loads of rubbish.
Loads,
finally.
Acres of.
We get to play something.
Or aural graffiti.
Go on, Barry.
I was trying to be clever there. No, now, we got someone who's phoned in.
Oh.
To speak to us. We'll see if they're there.
Hello,
is that Elliot?
Are you there?
Hello, mate.
Elliot. How's it going?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, not bad. You know, something like that anyway, yeah.
Nice one, Elliot. Okay, mate. Where are you calling from?
Leytonstone.
Oh, nice. I lived there for a while. Do you know Ferndale Road?
Yeah,
I lived in Ferndale Road for a while.
Is there like a plaque on the wall?
No, there isn't. There's a...
Say no more.
Oh, nice. Thank you, Elliot. That's very kind of you to stick Barry's plaque on his
wall. I'd like a nice blue plaque on the wall. Barry from Watford lived here. It was a long time ago before you was born. Don't matter. Shove it up. I've got a feeling it was number 45.
But if it wasn't, it doesn't matter, does it? You just bang it up anyway.
Stick it up anyway. Anyway, son, what's happening with
you? What's going down your end?
I've got a problem with my trousers. Don't fit when I go and try them on, like.
Right.
I'm in Poundland now, and they don't have trousers.
Okay, well, what do you want to do? So what is it? What is the actual problem there, Elliot? Is it your trousers?
Let the man speak,
Are
Elliot.
Are the trousers too short for you, or you can't find any trousers? You've got two problems here. Which one would you like to deal with first?
Well, the first one, and then the second one. If they're too short,
right.
Then they're too what? Then they're not wide enough. Okay. And if they're not wide enough, then they're just the right length.
Let me write that down.
Write that down, Barry, please.
So it's a problem with the trousers.
There's something wrong with the trousers. We're getting to the bottom of this.
The proportions.
It's
proportions or something like that.
Well, it's badly distributed, is it?
Yeah.
Material.
Or badly distributed, or the trousers are.
Are you too...
the trousers.
Are you big round the waist, Elliot?
I'm big on the waist, small on the hips,
right.
Got fat knees.
Okay.
I've got very fragile ankles.
Yes. It sounds like your Margaret,
sound
Barry.
Lovely. It does sound just like my missus.
Yeah.
And have you got a massive cock and all?
No.
Oh, it's nothing like
a button mushroom.
A button mushroom.
You poor boy, you sound like disabled. So what would you like us to actually...
I am disabled when it comes to buying jeans.
Yes, I understand.
Or something like that.
Yeah, okay. And what are you doing?
They've got socks here, haven't they? Like Simpsons, with the Simpson on the socks.
They've got that.
Yeah, they do have that. What, are you in the Poundland, are you?
Poundland, yeah.
Listen.
They've got squirrels here, like miniature...
Squirrels. What you want to do in Poundland, really... Elliot, you want to buy cleaning stuff in there because they rip you off in the supermarkets, but in Poundland you can get your Arpic for a pound.
It's a boon time. No, I wouldn't, as a rule of thumb, go and buy any clothing from Poundland. The clue's in the name.
Yeah.
Any jeans...
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted. I want some cheap jeans. Like, don't matter if they get damaged, does it, then?
Elliot, what do you need the cheap jeans for? I mean, there's a pound.
I can't go out. I ain't got no trousers on.
Get yourself down the Carla Lane shop.
Carla Lane?
Yeah, the charity shop, Carla Lane.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, but I have the same problem.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Elliot. What a prick he is. Now, the thing is... No, that's sick. No, are you still there,
still
mate?
Still there, Elliot.
I am. Sorry, I think I heard that.
You didn't hear nothing.
Strepsils.
Strepsils, you know.
Strepsils.
Okay. What else they got there, Elliot?
They got stretch mark cream.
Okay.
They got five bath time friends.
They've got what? Missed that last bit. What they got?
Oral B.
Oral B.
Oral B's,
okay.
Yes.
What
you get after oral A.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, go about it. What else have you got, Elliot?
Lycra ladies' thermal socks.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Colour changing floating solar lights. Stone squirrels, we've already been through that.
We've dealt with that. Done them, yeah.
Pruning shears.
Good.
Right.
Good. Nothing I can make into trousers. Right. Potting soil.
Why don't you go somewhere else to get your trousers?
Oh, good point. That's why people find it.
Very good idea, actually.
Very good idea.
I mean, you might have to pay more than £1 for them, but...
So what you're saying, Angelos, is that a friend here, Elliot, is found up with this problem.
Yeah, it's your problem. Yeah.
What you're saying, in effect, in your role as, counsellor, is that he shouldn't really be looking there for jeans. And if he is, what... Why not go to another shop?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking for trousers in a place that doesn't sell trousers, you should go to somewhere else that sells trousers.
Oh, good point.
Well, I realise that now, don't I? But I made a right fool of myself
We all made mistakes, Elliot, so don't beat yourself too much.
Well, I hope that's... that's helped you, Elliot. Go somewhere which actually sells trousers if you want some trousers.
Help
me.
No, it's not a problem at all.
Elliot,
it's
been an absolute
nice of you to ring.
Joy. Thank you for ringing. Jolly good.
Wonderful.
Well, perhaps we'll speak to you again another time.
Okay.
If you care to phone in.
Let us know how you get on with the trousers, Elliot, please.
Have you gone?
Okay.
It's probably
turn that off.
Just as well.
I don't know what to say about that.
Time waster there.
I don't know what you say about Elliot there, Barry. I mean...
I don't know.
He's definitely in a power shop, that's for sure.
He is, because he read all the things out.
Because he knew what was in there.
What was in there.
So he's walking around there.
But I would probably, if I was him, go somewhere else.
I'd go and get myself committed. Have we got any songs that we could play?
I'll tell you what we've got now. Do you remember those two, and I don't use the word lightly, lesbians who done that song, Tattoo? Do you remember Tattoo?
No, I don't know them.
They were two Russian girls, and they had a video which was them kissing.
Were they actually together, or were they...
I think they would lead you to believe they were together.
Yeah, to sell records.
To sell records. And you might recall this, some of you out there, it was called All the Things She Said. See if you remember this one.
Oh, yeah. All the things
here
she said.
Here we go. Remember, she said, Tattoo on FUBAR. Running through my head.
Tattoo there!
Tattoo!
Named after one of their tattoos.
Oh, that's right. I think it was. It's named after... one of them had a tattoo that said, Watford FC, Pride of Hertfordshire.
Yeah, never give up.
Never give up.
Yeah, have you got any tattoos, mate?
I've got this one here. Look at that.
Oh,
lovely. Ooh. It's not many people have TV's Knight Rider on their back, is it?
No, that's right.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Where's your one? Show me your tattoo.
Hold on. There we go. Have a look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Did you do that yourself?
Yeah, I did that when I was in prison. It's the map of the Isle of Wight.
Oh, nice. Well, it's got the Allen Bay chairlift on there, I imagine.
Yeah,
just
it's
down
all
by
on
your,
there. Yeah.
Your pubis. Right, well, we have got, to our amazement, a caller on line one. Let's hope it's not Elliot again. Hello there. Who's on line? Oh, it's a lady.
That's more like
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad.
She got an Irish lady.
Are you not the Irish lady you phoned last week? Isabella.
Isabella Dunner Smeller.
Is it Isabella Dunner Smeller again?
I don't think so.
Are you
different? Oh, he's so sorry, my darling. What's your name?
My name is Maeve.
Maeve. Oh, Maeve.
It rhymes with Dave.
Okay, not Maze, as in the Maze prison.
Maeve, where are you phoning from?
Where are you phoning from?
I'm calling from work.
Oh, yeah, we can hear by the echo. Do you work in the Albert Hall?
I don't work in the Albert Hall. I'm currently standing in a stairwell, actually.
Oh.
I was just legging it around the office there, trying to find shelter for the call.
Okay. Which office are you supposed to be working in at the moment, Maeve?
In the BBC.
Oh, blimey. Good job.
Nice one.
License fees.
Yeah, mind you, you could spend about 3 weeks in the stairwell and no one would know that you were there.
Yeah, that's
in that place.
Are you allowed to tell us what you do for the BBC, or would you rather not?
You work with Jeremy Clarkson.
I manage the business side of Good Food and Top Gear.
You do work with Jeremy Clarkson? I did just ask you.
I don't work directly with Jeremy Clarkson, but I've seen a lot of people run around with their hair on fire.
I bet they have been literally with their hair on fire.
The food side of things, did you? No, what do you write? The business side of Clarkson and Food and Drink, was it?
Food
what was
and
it?
Drink.
That's it, yeah.
The Food and Drink channel.
Oh, blood.
That's it, good food, yeah. So when people are looking up their cakes and stuff.
Lovely.
Well, what can we do for you, my darling?
Well, I just wanted to call in and ask you to wish me a happy birthday, because it's my birthday tomorrow.
No, we can't do that, I'm afraid.
We're not allowed to do that.
We Ofcom rules, you're not allowed to wish you a... Although, we might break the rule.
Let's see, are we allowed
to... wait a minute, mate.
I would be most grateful.
Let's just see if we can break the rule.
Okay.
Can we break that rule, please?
They're not even listening. Maeve, we don't give two hoots. We're going to say happy birthday, my darling.
Maeve, on the...
Will you sing it? Can you sing me a song?
Don't push it.
On this, the event of your 50th birthday, we hope you have a lovely 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Life begins at 50.
Yes.
And
life does begin at 50. I'm looking forward to it.
And as you know, we've just had a quick chance to scribble down a little poem about you.
That's right.
I will begin and Angelos will continue.
Yeah.
Once was a woman called Maeve.
Who
Dave. Her birthday was here.
But she was there.
Until later on she went to a rave. Right, the...
How about that?
What
did you think of that then, Maeve?
That was absolutely beautiful.
Wasn't it nice we wrote that for you?
Moving.
We're thinking...
She's crying.
She is crying. We may bring that out in a book.
Yeah, we could.
Of some of our better poetry that we've done.
You've inspired that, Maeve. Well done.
Maeve, I hope that's been wonderful. Are you going out tonight at all, or...?
Not tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Having a party on Saturday, if you want to come.
Where are you having this party?
In South East London, innit?
In South East London. Was that or South East Bangladesh, by the accent?
I didn't understand what she said.
London.
Oh, well, we'd love to come.
Where in South East London? Whereabouts? Just be specific.
Broccoli.
Hold on a minute. Someone else rang from Broccoli the other day.
Was that you, Maeve?
It wasn't me.
Somebody rang from Broccoli. And she had an Irish accent. Her name was Isabella. What is going on here?
You're joking.
Yeah, there's something going on here. Do you know someone called Izzy?
I do know someone called Izzy.
Is she not Irish, though. She's English, but she puts an Irish accent on.
She does.
We know. She rang us the other day.
Is that you?
Oh, my God. There's something going
on. No, it's not me. It's my housemate.
Oh, lovely.
What an extraordinary coincidence. Oh, so nice of you to ring.
Oh, isn't that lovely? How's it going for her? Because we solved a few of her problems last time, didn't we?
Yeah, we sorted her out with a boyfriend. We sorted her out with Lembit Opik. How did their date go?
Oh, she was absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we would love to come to that.
Yeah, we're going to definitely come
The two of us will be there. So, I mean,
is it just
you can
you
solve
two?
Everybody else's problems as well.
Yeah, or it should be certainly will if we turn up. Don't you worry.
Is it just you two, or
No, there's two others that you haven't hit yet, so...
Well,
so,
no doubt they'll be ringing in over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Two others. Oh,
get to speak to
I
them as well.
I suspect it's the same person.
Yeah, I think it might be the same person, Barry, but don't make them feel self-conscious about ringing in four times with slightly different Irish accents.
Slightly different accent.
Mate, how old will you be tomorrow?
25.
And will you be getting anything nice for your birthday?
Well, I don't know yet, do I?
Are you expecting anything? Have you asked for anything nice or just money?
Just cold hard cash, really.
Yeah, that's just probably the best thing. And you can just go out and...
It's better, isn't it?
Blow it on whatever you want.
Oh, mate, I'm so delighted. We don't get many fans. It's nice that in that house you like the show.
Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know why you don't get many fans. I'll get my other two housemates to ring in now as well.
Get the other two to ring in. And then all of you ring in at the same time. We'll do a conference call and we'll try and solve all of your problems at the same time.
The mystery. I wonder, that'd be a tough job for her to put on four different voices.
It'd be very, very difficult for her to do that.
Listen, we'll be there. What time do you want us there at the party?
Do you want us to do a turn?
I'd say about 8 o'clock, get started early, because, you know, there's a lot of problems to work through.
Early? Yeah, 8 o'clock? I'll have to be in bed by about 9. That's late. That's a night out, that is.
I'd agree.
Okay, best to start at 5 then.
Start with 5, and then we can get
through at least 3 or 4 problems before Barry has to go.
Sounds absolutely brilliant.
Mate, listen, happy birthday, my darling.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
It's been an absolute joy speaking to you, and please spread the word, because you can phone again. Yeah, we're only kidding. Phone anytime.
Phone whenever you want, mate.
Under whatever name you want.
Yeah, don't worry. I will.
Be whoever you want to be. Names and just keep calling in.
We'll pretend.
We don't mind. Be whoever you want to be.
All right, happy birthday,
darling.
Be
whoever you want to be, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'll get back to work now.
Bye-bye, darling. Wasn't she lovely?
Oh, what a lovely voice.
Well, listen, we've nearly finished.
How much longer have we got to fill?
I'll say a good 5 minutes now. Five. But what I want us to do quickly, just to talk about who we've got on next week's show.
Yeah.
We've got the big one.
Yeah.
We've got John Lewis coming over, the entire John Lewis.
John Lewis, that's right. We've got Joe Lewis,
Sir Euston Station.
Oh, that's
is going to be
nice.
Making the way down the Tottenham Court Road.
We've got Station to Station by David Bowie. He's coming on.
We've got Space Station Zero.
Yeah,
we've got
Space Station Zebra. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, something like that.
We've got Kelly Heroes coming on.
We've got Kelly Rowlands coming on.
Mm-hmm. We've got Roland Browning coming on off of Grey Chill.
And we've got, that's it really.
Yeah, so just recap again, Barry. Who's that? We've got coming
Roland Browning.
Yep.
Sir Euston Station.
Yeah.
John Lewis off of Oxford Street.
That's right.
Space Station Zero / Zebra.
Yeah.
Saint.
What's your?
Kelly Rowland. Roland Brown. The other one, Browning.
Roland Brown, you shed him.
Any others?
I think we've got Level 42.
Level 42 and 43 are both
coming. We've got
UB40. We've got Level 42, Blink 182. We've got all the ones with the magic numbers.
Yeah, we've got
Sham 69.
We've got 808 State again.
We've got a piece of paper in front of us.
Oh, we've just had a news flash.
We've got a news flash. We might want another caller because someone might be phoning in.
Okay.
But if you now that's a good point. If you want to get in touch,
with
Fubar with us at Fubar Radio, you could suggest some guests to come in. You can tweet
if you want to speak to anyone
at Fubar Radio. You can email Barry at foobarradio.com. It's just for convenience. You could try and speak to Angelos, but it's just for convenience.
Just to take up time.
And you could get in touch and tell us who you want on the show.
And we'll do our best to get them on. But as we've got no clout whatsoever, We'll just end up getting whoever we can anyway.
But what we've got, just before we go, we've just got time to sort out one last caller. Hello, who's there? An echo is there. Hello? Hello, my darling.
Hello. Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it?
Now, I'm no technician, but that sounded to me like someone put
their phone
down, you know.
I mean, that's happened about five times now, hasn't it, Barry?
I don't know what it is. I think there's a gremlin in the
room. Going on with the machine in this room.
People want to speak to us and they bottle out at the last...
That's right. That's what happens.
...minute.
So they want to speak to us and then just as we get through the old familiar sound of...
Of... What are you doing tonight then, Andrews, when you're finishing?
I'm just... I'm just an example of what that feels like. Hello?
Hello there. That's how it goes. Oh, high excitement. We're going to sort out a problem. Is someone on line one? Are you there? You know, so...
That sort of thing, isn't it?
You know.
Are they back yet?
What are you going to do tonight, though, Angelos, when you come?
Oh, Barry, I'm going to go and put the kettle on. I'm going to have a cup of soup.
A nice cup of soup.
I think so, because it's Wednesday.
Yeah, you do normally have that one then, don't you?
Yeah, I have a cup of soup and a cup of crouton.
My Margaret has bought some sausages from the market.
Oh, is she?
Very salty.
Oh.
Very, very salty.
Can't you have that taken out?
The salt?
Yeah.
Or Margaret, have someone take her out for buying such salty, salty sausages.
Have her assassinated. I think that might be over the top, that response.
It might be, but I had. She bought me a very meagre lamb chop the other day, and I thought about having a contract put out on it just for that chop alone.
Really?
And she served out a bit of old lumpy mashed potato, and, you know, I was nice. I said, well, thanks for making the effort, Margaret, but if that happens again, I'm going to have a sniper up in Watford Town Hall, and as you go past with your trolley, you're going to be taken out. I want a proper lamb chop. I want enough mash for a man. So don't do it again.
I must say, it's a lot of pressure she lives under.
Is it too much pressure to provide your man with a decent meal of an evening?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's not the pressure I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that if he doesn't provide the meal, or if it doesn't come up to standard, then you are likely to have her shot. That seems like over the top.
Using a
sledgehammer to crack a nut. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the. Well, you know.
But I mean, you know. But that's how you stayed married for so long.
Well, it is. I don't ask for much in this marriage. No. I just want a meal on the table when I come home.
Nice chop.
I want her to.
A bit of mash.
Nice bit of mash. Mm-hmm. I want her to give me the glad eye every now and then.
Mm.
I want control of the remote control.
And the finances.
Yes. And in return, I give a lot of sweet loving.
Yeah.
I listen to
a roof problem. Over her head.
I give her a roof over her head. Yeah. I buy her, bath salts.
All them creams
I give her all the creams under the sun.
Yeah,
you too. I take her out on a holiday.
Yeah, it's nice.
Take all the creams with me.
Yeah,
you know, and if a simple lamb chop in return is too much, then shoot me, arrest me.
Yeah, no, now you put it like that. That is fair enough, mate. You've turned me by that one.
Well, look, our caller hasn't rung in.
Cleared off. I mean,
you probably guess we were filling a bit there, but I think we've done enough.
I don't know.
It sounds
a lot like the rest of the show.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Not filling,
Angelos. Do you want to say goodbye? We're nearly done.
Let's go.
Listen, I hope you've enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot in it, wasn't it?
Oh, a lot of content.
There was a lot of content.
And there
will be an awful lot more next time, but please do join us again next Wednesday. Bye-bye, Angelos.
Bye-bye, Barry.
And bye-bye, listeners.
Bye-bye, everybody.
And in the meantime, this is...
Oh, MC Hammers.
MC Hammers.
With
Super Freak.
Can't touch it.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.